much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Good morning, apartment. Good morning, doorway. Morning, wall. Morning, ceiling. Good morning, floor. Ready to start the day.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Girls, tell me, where specifically is the weirdest place that you personally, girls, have ever gotten the urge to make whoopee?
In the car. In the...
The weirdest place.
I don't know.
He said it was in the car on
the
freeway.
And now.
Hey, who? Language.
Our feature presentation.
Language, indeed, and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time for a Monday morning, 23rd of June. Hey, party people.
Good morning.
How was everybody's first weekend of summer?
Fabulous. I was in Catalina. It was beautiful. I went scuba diving. I got my rescue certification. My boyfriend did. It's amazing.
What does a rescue certification mean? Are you allowed to go further out or do things that you couldn't do otherwise before?
It means if another diver's in trouble, I have some training. Like if someone's unconscious underwater, I know how to bring them up. I know how to give rescue breaths on the surface of the water. I know what I'm supposed to do to get them to shore. And then, of course, you do the CPR thing. So I know how to give CPR and all that.
So it's like taking an underwater paramedic class.
Yeah, kind
of. Well, that's cool. Now, why'd you want to do that? Just because you're doing a lot of diving and in case you run across anyone in trouble?
Yeah, and it teaches you more about how to make sure you never get in that situation because it's really hard. It's really hard. And yeah, exactly. It just makes you be a more careful diver, too.
Right. Gotcha. Well, it's interesting you should bring that up because the story that I have today to get us started before we talk about today's All New Kevin and Bean Show is one that you will really identify with, Lisa.
Okay.
This is a couple in Florida. Their names are Sean McGovern, 49, Melissa Morris, 51. They're out in their boat and somehow, and you know my big criticism with all news reports is there's never enough information. Yeah. I always have too many questions after I read an article. I don't know how they ended up in the water. It said they fell overboard. Now, both of them falling overboard and not being able to get back on the boat seems weird to me.
Yeah.
But apparently the boat was in gear when they fell over and it quickly got away from them.
Oh, man.
So now they're out in the water.
No life vests?
No life vests.
Okay.
Why they didn't have life vests on while they were on the boat, I have no idea.
Now, can you tell me again, did you say where they were?
Florida.
Okay, so warm water.
At least warm water. Thank God, warm water, right?
Okay, yeah.
So they were in a 30-foot island hopper was the kind of boat. It was around 6 o'clock on Friday. Neither are wearing a life jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question I have for you, Lisa, is how long do you survive out there in warm Florida waters with no life jacket and no one and no boats and no help around?
So the question is, how long can you float?
Yes. How long can you tread mother effing water before you either physically give out or mentally give up?
Yeah. Well, it's easier for women because we float better.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that booby related?
It's fat related. We don't have as much muscle. Muscle drags you down. So I'm a heck of a floater.
That is interesting. I never knew that.
God, how long? I can't imagine going more than 5 hours or so, 5-6 hours.
Well, they went almost 14 hours.
Wow.
Before they were discovered. And boy, did they get lucky because the fishermen who found them included two sheriff's detectives and a paramedic.
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean, of all the people to come across you in the water, a paramedic is one of them.
Wow.
The boat eventually washed up in Fort Lauderdale, by the way. One of the fishermen told the police that the woman could not even walk. And I am familiar very much with putting a woman in that situation. Her legs were like sticks.
They couldn't creepy even... alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
We've got that at the ready.
They couldn't even, their legs were like sticks. They couldn't even bend. The couple had also suffered mild hypothermia and jellyfish stings.
Oh, man. 14 hours is Incredible.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't know how many of us would mentally be able to go on after, like you said, 5-6 hours. It just seems like at some point you just give up. You just be so tired that, you know, just like, you know, they always try to keep people who have concussions awake, but you're so tired. All you want to do is close your eyes and go to sleep. I would imagine that's what this feels like, is you just look, I know I'm going to die, but I'm so tired. I'm just going to give up.
Yeah. Wow.
But, remarkable story. A miracle, yeah. I can't wait to, I mean, I'm sure as they recover, I'm sure there'll be some interviews and whatnot, and we'll hear some more stories about. I mean, I'm fascinated with the dynamic of trying to get along with a person in those circumstances, because it seems like at some point, no matter what the other person is doing, it would tick you off. Because you'd just be so irritated and so frustrated and so scared. And, you know, whatever the other person is trying to, you know, they're trying to cheer you on. You're like, shut up.
It's like in childbirth.
Yeah.
Just leave me the F alone.
Exactly. Do you ever see the movie from about 10 years ago called Open Water?
Oh, yeah. When I started diving, that's all anybody said. Did you see that movie? Did you see that movie?
Terrifying, right?
So, so scary.
I thought that movie was so good.
Yeah.
And if I recall, spoiler alert, if I recall, sharks ended their trip.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to worry about being rescued by a paramedic. But anyway, this is an amazing story. 14 hours in the water. Eventually, they were rescued, and apparently they are going to be fine. So,
well, they didn't need life jackets.
Something for you to keep in mind when you're out there doing your diving thing there,
Thank
Lisa.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, you could pretend to be impressed. The story that everybody was talking about over the weekend is this guy with a long felony arrest record in Fresno. They put mugshots. And I don't know how or why they do this on the police department website in Fresno, because it seems like if you're arrested, it doesn't mean you've been convicted of anything, but they put mugshots up on the website. Hmm. And it's far and away the most liked mugshot in the history of the Fresno Police Department, because apparently this guy has supermodel good looks.
Oh, awesome.
And everybody is like, oh, when this guy gets out of jail, I'm going to date him. I'm going to F him. I'm going to hire him. You know, everybody wants to hang out with this guy who's apparently a bad dude. But he's really, really attractive. And that's going to be a phone topic later on this morning's Kevin and Bean show, is what will you put up with? What nonsense have you put up with for a hot person?
Yeah.
Mugs, I think that's a question you should be asking yourself about some of your dating choices, by the way.
How dare you.
Also, the great Doug Benson stops by, one of our favorite comedians. He'll be on the program today. Zach Braff on the show as well today. We'll check in with the TMZ.com newsroom. Got tickets to a brand new festival called Life is Beautiful. This one's in Las Vegas. Foo Fighters are playing, Arctic Monkeys, Fitz and the Tantrums, Kanye West, Outkast, Broken Bells, Neon Trees, crazy festival.
Wow, that's
in October.
Awesome.
It's amazing. I don't know how America sustains so many great festivals every year, but it seems like every couple weeks there's another one. This one's in Las Vegas at the end of October, so we'll qualify you to win tickets for that. And Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, too, and that gets us going right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Fallout Boy on the K-Rock for a Monday morning at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, Ralph Garman.
I'm on fire!
I know you're not perhaps the biggest soccer fan in the world.
Sorry, kickball? Talking about kickball?
But you at least watched yesterday's USA World Cup game, right?
No. Why? But just because there's a U and an S slapped on a team, I automatically have to watch a sport I have no interest in whatsoever? Is this more of that sort of Olympics BS mentality?
Yes, that's exactly what
Simply
it is.
Simply because there's a U.S. person involved, right. I must be interested.
You must be interested.
Well, why
don't
I go watch a plumber work? Because he's from the U.S. He's an American. Why don't I watch him unstop a drain?
Because these are athletes that are representing you and
me
and all of America around the world.
They're a team of guys playing a sport. They don't represent me. I don't get anything out of it, and they don't get anything from me. They're just a team of guys. Best of luck. Good luck to them. But I'm under no obligation to watch them.
You're a sports fan, though, and you're a fan of competition. You're a fan of the human spirit. If you had watched this game yesterday...
But I don't like soccer.
You would. I think you would have...
Don't like soccer.
I think the problem is you haven't watched enough soccer. I think that's what's going on here.
I've watched enough to know I don't like it.
So you are a fan of soccer or not? I'm sorry.
I do not enjoy the sport of soccer.
You hear what happened yesterday?
There was a tie or something, right?
Yes.
All right.
The U.S.A. had the greatest comeback.
Sorry, Mr. Exciting Tie.
The U.S. had the greatest comeback in the history of their World Cup. You know, going all the way back to 1930, the greatest comeback ever to win the game. And then 25 seconds before it was over, Portugal scored a goal and tied it up. It was the biggest wah, wah, wah I've ever seen in the World Cup.
Well, then, if it's a wah, 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 why did I miss so much?
Because it was a great game.
Did
That's
it
why.
End in a tie?
Yes, it did.
Any sport that ends in a tie blows.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Thank you, Ralph. Once well, again, you make perfect sense.
All right, it's your loss. I'm just telling you, for
no,
those who complain...
No, it's not my loss, and it's no one's on that game's loss either, because no one won and no one lost, because it was a tie.
For those who complain that there's no football and that hockey's over, that basketball's over, oh, I just have baseball. I'm telling you, there is something else right
yes.
now that's great.
Go, and you- hurry, watch the tie sport. Go watch the sport that ends in ties.
Hey, it's kickball, man.
Ugh.
Oh, wait. All right, I can see I'm getting nowhere with you. What do you
nope.
got for us today?
I have showbiz news, since it is Monday morning. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Think Like a Man 2, in its debut, took the weekend, $30 million, made it number one.
Thank God Kevin Hart has a hit film.
I'm glad to see he's working. Did you go see Think Like a Man 2, B?
No!
But they're Americans. They're Americans. They represent you in the theaters by performing on
not,
that film.
They're not representing me against other countries around the world who are trying to be better than us.
No, they're representing you against Maleficent, for God's sakes. They're fighting evil demons on your behalf.
I'm sorry, I did not see Think Like
well,
a Man.
Well, I can't believe you would
too.
Not support fellow Americans. That's all I can
Shocking.
Say. Shocking. 22 Jump Street made $29 million. Ooh, just came in second. How to Train Your Dragon 2 was third, then Jersey Boys in its debut made just $13.5 million. Maleficent was fifth. Edge of Tomorrow, The Fault in Our Stars, X-Men, Days of Future Past, Chef, and Godzilla rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Jill Duggar. If you know the Duggar family name, you may have seen an episode or two of 19 Kids and Counting, their popular reality show.
Uh-huh.
Jill is one of those 19. She finally got married to her boyfriend, Derek Dillard, last Saturday in Springdale, Arkansas. Here's the fascinating part of this story. Jill and Derek kissed for the very first time when they said, I do.
Wow.
Yes, Lisa. Yes.
This
I see some people reserving the good stuff mm-hmm. for the wedding night. But to have never kissed the person that you are going to marry until you're up there on the altar?
That sounds awkward.
Crazy.
Crazy indeed.
So what happens, Ralph? Help me out with this. Maybe this is deserving of a deeper, longer conversation later. But if there's no sexual chemistry at all, that you're stuck with it? Or do you have sexual chemistry because you love this person and that's how your brain works?
Dude, I think it's every situation is unique. I don't know what their sexual chemistry is going to be like, but I just think, for me personally, it would be incomprehensible to not have at least kissed a woman before saying you're going to spend the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Madness.
Because what if it's terrible?
Yes! Yes, exactly. What if it's terrible? And porn star Kim Kardashian and her husband Kanye West had a big birthday party for North, their baby girl North, over the weekend. And, you know, she is one.
Mm-hmm.
So, naturally, they had to pull out a Ferris wheel, teepees all over a large portion of the grounds, face painting, hair braiding. They called it Kidchella. Of course, they take off on the popular Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival.
Well, one-year-olds, man, they're all about the hair braiding.
Oh, North must have loved getting her hair braided. Oh, wait a minute. She doesn't really have enough hair to braid. It's nice to see Kim and Kanye spend some time with their baby girl, however, because the long spans have gone where no one sees them together, the parents and the child. So much so that some members of the press are starting to call Nori Ignori, Norfin, or just an effing prop. So that's what the spell is there. Today's celebrity birthdays, Glenn Danzig from the band The Misfits, 59 years old today. Randy Jackson, dog! He's a little pitchy. He's also 58. Frances McDormand, very talented actress, probably still best known for her starring role in Fargo. She is 57 years old. Joss Whedon, producer-writer extraordinaire, is 50. Selma Blair turns 42. Jason Mraz is 37. Melissa Rauch from The Big Bang Theory, she's 34 years old today. And is this rumor true? Is it your birthday, Lisa May?
It is my birthday.
Lisa May celebrating her birthday today as well.
What?
too.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. We're almost always on vacation during my birthday.
Yeah. Well, now, I know that I've gotten away with never having to buy you a birthday
present. We got to call the UBC or something, don't we? What is the thing we usually do? Don't we go to one of those claw machines in an arcade and put a quarter in and see if we can get our stuff down or something? I forget how it works. But
They won't talk to us anymore.
Nope, so that's
kind of, so we kind of... kind of let that one go, unfortunately.
Well, then Lisa gets nothing.
Yeah, get nothing.
But our hearty hand clasp and a slap on the back.
And I love it.
Maybe we can find her a drowning diver. Maybe that'll make her happy.
I'll go save someone.
Someone she can give CPR to. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Doug Benson joins us later on this morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, plus actor Zach Braff will be here as well. First, though, Monday morning, I think you know what that means. We go to the phones for TMZ Newsroom. This time filling in for Harvey, it's Brian McDaniel. Hey, Brian, what's going on, buddy? Hello, Brian.
Christine just put him on hold. Here we go.
Okay.
Well, that's...
Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Speed bump right there. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Hey, let me get the business out of the way first because you are part of a bunch of hilarious TMZ Newsroom employees who are going to be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tomorrow night. What's that about?
Yeah, that's true. There's a bunch of us who do stand-up comedy in the newsroom. We've been starting to put ourselves together and go out and do shows. And we got a big show at the Laugh Factory Tuesday night in Hollywood. And we also have Brian Callen, who guest-hosted TMZ and was on The Hangover, obviously. And Cheryl Underwood, who's like 20-year vet road comic, total badass. And she's a host of The Talk. So both of them are going to be on our show also Tuesday night at 8 at the Laugh Factory.
That sounds like fun. $20, laughfactory.com. By the way, before we talk about some of the stories this week, does Harvey hire you guys because you're funny on the TV show, or does he hire you because you're actual journalists?
Well, he hires us because we have a real job. Like, I was hired at first just to do editing, just to do post-production work, and they knew I knew about soccer, and there was a question about Mexico. And that particular day, I happened to be wearing a Mexico soccer t-shirt and had a giant fro and a red bandana on. I looked like a clown. And they were like, this is perfect. This guy's funny. He's ridiculous. And they brought me on, and that was 7 years ago.
Sometimes you're just in the right place at the right time with the right afro. I guess that's the best
message
for the day.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about Ralph brought up in the Show Business Report a few minutes ago here on K-Rock about this birthday bash for Northwest. And I'm always fascinated to see the lengths that parents go to for their one-year-old. A one-year-old really has barely any idea what's going on in the world, and they really overdid it, right?
They went nuts. They threw this thing. They called it Kidcella. It was a little like their version of Coachella, but for kids. They gave everybody, you know, like glow sticks and moccasins, and they had performance stages where Kylie Jenner and Jaden Smith also performed.
Oh, good
they
lord!
Had a Ferris wheel. They had a giant bounce house, and you know they had like you know carts with festival stuff, carnival stuff, face painting, tie-dye t-shirts, all of which Northwest is going to remember vividly, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you estimate this party for a one-year-old cost?
This had to be six figures.
Wow.
I mean, you have a Ferris wheel brought in. Like, that's an outrageous amount of money. Somebody has to cart it in, and the carny's got to put it together and all that kind of business, you know?
I guess
the carnies have a union. I don't know. Maybe they don't.
Now, Kanye did not perform, at least at this one, right? He didn't hold his guests hostage with one of his 20-minute diatribes from the stage.
No, but they did give out custom Yeezus t-shirts.
Well, of course.
A little self-promotion at your baby's first birthday, of course.
Can you imagine giving out t-shirts at a party, Brian, with your face on it? What is that? This family.
Real.
It's unbelievable. And you had another Northwest story a couple of days ago on TMZ.com that just blew my mind. This kid is one. Uh-huh. She wasn't even one when her parents had her fly across country without either one of them on the plane. Most parents, that would be inconceivable that they would let their infant do that.
I know. It's a wild story. So Kim and Kanye were in Paris. They had like some appearance to do. And Northwest stayed back in the Hamptons. And then they had the baby sent, swaddled up. They drove the baby onto the tarmac, sent it first class across the country, picked it up in a Porsche Panamera, and then they were on the receiving end in L.A. when they flew back from Paris.
Isn't that unbelievable? Now, so, I mean, I guess they probably have a huge staff. They have a lot of people that they can choose from to fly mm-hmm. with their baby. So I'm sure it was with somebody they knew. It's not just like they put it in cargo or something, right?
Well, they had four people taking care of the baby on the plane, actually. They had a security guard. They had a nurse. They had a nanny. Yeah, they had a full staff for this baby.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we just can't even imagine the opulence in which these people live, can we?
Not remotely.
It's crazy. All right, let's go to the other end of the scale. One more story on TMZ.com that you should be checking out, and this is Hope Solo. Now, that's a name that all soccer fans know because she was the goalie for the U.S. women's team when they had their remarkable World Cup run a few years ago. She's
right.
not playing for the country anymore. Now she's playing. Did you guys know, by the way, that there's a female professional soccer league in this country?
I did not.
The Seattle Reign is what they're called, and Hope has had troubles before, but what happened this time?
Well, she got arrested for domestic violence on Saturday night. Apparently, there was a party at her house, and it was just a rager. So what specifically happened is a little unclear, but what is definitely clear is cops were called, and the situation was out of control. People said that she was hitting people. Her nephew actually called on her, so that's not great. She's going to appear in court this morning, though, and hopefully be able to clear it up. But the cops did say she was definitely intoxicated and upset when they arrived to the house.
It's just, I mean, a 17-year-old boy is getting beat up by his Aunt Hope. That's what's going on at this party.
Yeah, that's pretty rugged.
Is she still with I remember at the time, the last time she was in the news for a domestic violence situation, it was with her husband, I think, who was a former Seahawk. Are they still together?
Yeah, Jeremy Stevens, they are still together. I mean, as far as we know, he was not involved in this incident. So maybe the fact that he wasn't at this rager that she was throwing might be telling. There's nothing – we don't have anything concrete on that yet. But,
gotcha.
But, yeah, as far as we know, there's no – no papers filed. Everything should be copacetic.
And she was she drinking? Was that what was happening here?
Yeah. The cop says she, they quote, intoxicated and upset when they arrived to the house.
All right.
And it was all a, quote, out of control situation.
Well, it's not a party until the police come up to arrest somebody. That's what we've always said at this program.
Macking around your nephew.
Great stuff. Keep up the good work at TMZ.com. Don't forget the fine family of TMZ television shows that you can see on Channel 11 and seeing Brian McDaniel and all of the TMZ comics and special guests at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. That is going to be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Sounds like a great time. Just $20. Go to LaughFactory.com. Brian, man, thanks for the time. Say hi to Harvey. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks.
Monday morning on the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. By the way, Lisa, I put out the plea for penis photos, our annual tradition here for your birthday. So
God bless you. That's a gift that just keeps on giving.
At Lisa@KROQ.com. Go ahead and send those along, boys. If you care about Lisa, if you love Lisa for her birthday today, be sure to make her smile with a little penis photo. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up. First, though, the Kevin Amin Afro line is on the air. It's just one of many ways that you can reach us here on the program. Of course,
nope.
We've got the Kevin Amin.
That would be showbiz news. I'm sorry.
That was actually movie beat, Ralph.
The beer mug put on the movie beat music instead.
Why, Muds?
Sorry about that.
I do what I want.
well, then you should
do what
work
you're supposed
Jack,
to.
Not lots of ways to reach the program. Of course, we've got the Kevin Amin Facebook page. You can get to us on Twitter @KevinAmin. We've got an Instagram page. You can always email us, including your Lisa May penis photos. And, of course, the Afro line is available for you 24 hours a day if you just want to leave us a voicemail message at 323-520-AFRO. I wish the King of Mexico were here today, Ralph. You know he's still in Las Vegas for the EDM.
I'm in Las Vegas.
He got a lot of abuse, and rightfully so. I think you were out the day Dave was in talking about how he continues to and will continue to text and drive, Ralph.
Hmm. Well, that's good news for everyone.
Dave's whole thing is, other people get into accidents.
But he's
gonna
good
be fine.
At it.
I'm good at it, is what he said.
Oh, well, as long as he's good at it, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this listener calling the Afro line disagrees.
So I'm pretty over the Fire Beer Mug campaign. I want to start a new one. Fire Dave the King of Douchebag for his texting and driving. You freaking douchey douche.
A lot of listeners are very angry with Dave about that, and rightfully so, because they share the road with him, and they don't want to die because he's updating his Facebook page behind the wheel.
So let me get this right. He, in the rain, doesn't use his windshield wipers, and he's texting at the
just
same time.
Just little rains.
Oh, man.
And barely staying awake while he drives.
Yeah, all right.
I'm telling you, he's a.
And he admitted to it, which is even stupider than doing it.
He should That's
just,
a good point.
Just lie. Just lie if you're going to do it, because it's a horrible thing. Don't say it out loud, idiot.
Even though Dave is bad, that doesn't mean that Beer Mug is not also still bad, and that's what this call's about.
Yeah, hi. I'm listening to Beer Mug's Twitter Warrior segment, and at one point Beer Mug says, yeah, I tweeted that we won, but I didn't mean we because I'm not actually on the team. And I just want to remind Beer Mug or let Beer Mug know that nobody thinks that he is on any team of any kind, especially when it involves sport.
Good point.
Nobody wants you to be part of any group that they're associated with, Muggs, I think is what's going on.
The cheese stands alone, Muggs. That's what we're saying. And you're the cheese.
Yes, that's right. I don't even want you telling people you work on this show because it reflects poorly on us. I don't know what's going on with this call.
Meow. Meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow. Meow.
Right. Effing grumpy cat. Well, leave me alone. I don't like you. I'm sorry. Get over it.
Just in time for your birthday today, Lisa May. Here's a generous offer.
Hey, Lisa. I hear you're on a gluten-free diet. I got something for you that doesn't have any gluten in it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Where's the creepy alert? I need the creepy alert.
She's also on a gluten-free diet.
Sorry. Disgusting.
You lose.
Now, every once in a while, someone will call, and you can't really tell from their tone of voice if they're actually mad or not. And this woman, I'm having trouble figuring. I think she's upset with me. I'm not sure.
Hey, Dean, next time I hear the mouse clicking, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to punch a dog in the face, and then I'm going to say, daylight savings time.
Wow. Telephone wires can't contain her rage.
Were you guys hearing any anger at all there? Did
she
seem cool?
Overloaded the phone systems with anger. I love her.
Here's a another message for me, apparently.
Hey, Bean, your dad called. He says you suck.
How dare you? This guy is also leaving a message for me, and I think he's doing it as he's driving by me in a car.
You're pretty, douchebag.
Hey, how dare you? Sam, they're meeting me.
This lady is walking already. She's tall. She's walking with high heels. Mm-hmm. How tall she wants to be?
Oh, he is the master of crafting a fine joke.
Isn't
he
hilarious?
Now, Kevin is in Brazil with Brad Williams, Funny Brad, and I know you didn't watch the game yesterday, but I really thought you take a little person with face paint to a sporting event, there's a good chance he's going to get on TV. Mm-hmm. I kept looking every time they do a crowd shot of all the sections of American fans down there, and there are a lot of them down there in Brazil for the World Cup. I kept expecting to see them on the TV. I did not. I never saw them on the TV. As far as we know from social media, they are still alive. But a lot of listeners have been calling in pretty much convinced that Kevin will never return from Brazil, including this one.
Hey, guys, just a couple of survival tips when you're heading down there to Rio. If someone walks up to you and says, dame tu midget, you throw them the midget. If someone says, dame tu idioto, then you throw them Kevin, and then you run.
All right, that's good one advice. Tip. Here's a guy who for a long time, for a couple of years, has been calling with just cartoon hate for Kevin, and he's very excited by the news that Kevin's now in Brazil.
Hello, Kevin Ryder, you f***ing moron. I heard the great news. So you're off to Brazil to go see the World Cup, huh? I guess all that minimum wage that you earn at K-Rock allows you to buy a plane ticket to go see the big f***ing game, huh? So when you're at Brazil having the f***ing time of your life, I hope you get your head cut off.
That's the great. I'm glad we keep giving that guy airtime. That makes me happy.
Poor choice, you think?
I think so.
Here's a farewell song for Kevin.
Goodbye, Kevin. Goodbye, Kevin. Goodbye, Kevin. You're already dead in Brazil.
Wow. And believe it or not, another one.
Kevin will be murdered in Brazil. Yes, Kevin will be murdered in Brazil. He'll be stabbed, he'll be shot, he'll be burned, he'll be robbed. Yes, Kevin will be murdered in Brazil.
And believe it or not.
Oh, stop it.
Yet another.
Oh, my Kevin, you are dead. You were stupid and absurd, but I'll mourn your big fat head. Oh, my Kevin, oh, my Kevin, oh, my Kevin, you are dead.
like you to can thank that horrible lady for using public domain songs so we don't have to pay any rights.
Oh, smart.
That
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You can call us anytime and leave a voicemail on the Afro line. It's 323-520-AFRO. That is our number 24/7. Quick break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next here on K-Rock. Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Argar?
What's the time for?
Time for the Showbiz Beat.
All right.
On a Monday morning?
Let's do it. Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some tickets to give away. Would you like to see the premiere of Tammy?
Yay!
Looks funny.
Tammy looks funny. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy, always funny. Susan Sarandon's also in this film. Dan Aykroyd's in this film. If you're losing her job and learning that her husband has been cheating on her, a woman hits the road with her profane, hard-drinking grandmother. It's got everything. It's got cursing old ladies, and it's got a big, heavy woman steals things. It's got everything.
That Melissa McCarthy knows what she's doing, doesn't she?
She is a funny lady. Tammy, the premiere is going to happen June the 30th at the TLC Chinese Theater there in Hollywood. Tammy's in theaters everywhere July the 2nd. If you'd like to go, I've got five pairs of tickets right now to give away to five lucky winners. Call me 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through at that phone number will get tickets to the premiere of Tammy. Let's talk about movies. Top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Think Like a Man 2. In its debut, it did $30 million, just edging out 22 Jump Street for the number one spot. Third was How to Train Your Dragon 2 with $25.3 million. That's a very entertaining film. If you've got kids, I can highly recommend it. Jersey Boys, in its debut, $13.5 million, made it number four. Maleficent was fifth. Edge of Tomorrow came in at number six. The Fault in Our Stars was seventh. X-Men Days of Future Past came in at number 8, then Chef and Godzilla rounding out the top 10. Congratulations to Kanye West. I'm sure he'll be very happy now. He's been made a verb. Gabrielle Union is getting married to Dwayne Wade, of course. And she tells Us Weekly Magazine that Dwayne is the one in charge of the wedding. It's all about him. He is a groomzilla, as they're known.
Right.
Here's her quote. He really Kanye'd himself. It's his princess day, and I'm just going along for the ride. Doesn't happen very often, but I've heard circumstances where the groom just takes over and makes that day all special for him.
What guy grows up thinking about his wedding?
I don't think any guy grows up about it, but when he's got a certain amount of ego and a certain amount of money, I think he says, well, this event has to be a reflection of me, and I'm going to make it in my image.
And he's also a superstar. And he's used to having things his way, I guess.
He's Kanye'd. Tracy Morgan has been released from the hospital where he was recovering. He's gone to a rehab center where he'll continue to heal.
I hope Beer Mug gets Tracy'd.
Oh, man.
How dare you.
They say he continues to show signs of improvement, but still has a long, long way to go. So hopefully he will be getting healthier soon. Casey Kasem, of course, passed away last week. A private memorial ceremony was held for Casey Saturday in Bel Air, California. Casey's children were there, Carrie, Mike, and Julie. His wife, Jean, however, was a no-show. Continuing with the classy behavior she's demonstrated through all of this. Sadly, also a no-show, Scooby-Doo did not show, and mourners were shocked because they spent so much time together.
When asked what the hell's going on here?
When asked for a statement, Scooby said, So no word on what that
is. He's down on the phone.
I hope Don showed up.
I bet he did.
If nobody else was at the funeral, I hope Don showed up finally and apologized for not being on the phone all those years ago. And smart man, that Eddie Vedder. He's grooming the next generation of Pearl Jam fans. He's tapping into the untapped Pearl Jam market by going for the 8-year-olds. Eddie was performing with Pearl Jam at Milan, Italy on Friday night. And he was playing one of their Hallmark tunes, Daughter, of course. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Daughter, he tagged it up with a little impromptu cover of a song that's very popular with the Disney set, Let It Go from Frozen. Here's what it sounded like. imagine people in the audience going, what the hell?
Yeah.
Hilarious, though. And you know that had to be, I mean, he's got young kids. I think they're like 10 or something. You know that had to come out of him hearing that goddamn song every day for the last 8 months. He probably just couldn't avoid it.
He's no Adele Dazeem, though, I'll tell you, when it comes to singing that song. That's for sure. And the Biebs, pop douchebag Justin Bieber and his girlfriend Selena Gomez were reportedly seen at Bible study class this week. E! News says they sat next to each other during the service in Los Angeles and were very touchy and affectionate toward each other. Well, if you can't get a little something-something during Bible class, when can you? Now that Justin's studying the Bible, he will never do anything douchey again. It's one thing we know about people who go to church. They do the right thing, always.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So did he, I mean, he put down the usurp and everything just for enough time to go in there and appear to be changing his ways? Is that what happened here?
Yeah, I think it's all a big publicity stunt, but look, at least he was groping his girlfriend during the Bible study. So he's
why is she back together with him? I thought she had escaped his orbit.
I don't
she
know.
She deserves every minute of it now.
What
I'm
makes
just
you
like,
go
what,
back to Justin Bieber? He's more of a tool now than when you left him the first time.
Idiot.
Just doesn't make any sense.
It does if she's an idiot. It makes sense. I mean, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I guess.
She deserves what she gets.
Selena, over here.
Beer mug asked her.
Selena.
On his interview.
Selena, mm-hmm. God damn it.
Right. Remember when he gave her that hard-hitting question?
Selena! Miss Gomez, Selena! God damn it!
Yeah, that was the preacher in Bible study class, too, talking to her in that second clip. And here's more proof that Brangelina are the coolest parents. On the block, Us Weekly reports that Brad and Angelina have decided to encourage their 8-year-old son Shiloh's passion for skateboarding by building him a massive skate park in the backyard of their beautiful Los Angeles home. Okay. It's got ramps, it's got metal grind, it's got a soft padded section where he can try to do jumps and crash in comfort. So everything he needs to encourage his X Games aspirations he can have there in his backyard.
That's a kid's dream right there.
It is. Must be just like Disneyland at that house all the time. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Glenn Danzig from The Misfits is 59 years old today. Randy Jackson from American Idol fame is 58. Frances McDormand turns 57 years old. Joss Whedon, legendary writer and director and producer, all-around good guy, 50 years old today. Selma Blair is 42. Jason Mraz celebrates his 37th birthday. Melissa Rauch from The Big Bang Theory is 34.
Is she Belle, Ralph? I don't know her.
I don't know the character of Bernadette. It says she plays Bernadette in Big Bang Theory. I'm not well-versed in that show, so I'm not sure.
I am being told by Christine, yes. Emphatically, yes.
All
okay.
Right. Belle away. And speaking of Belles, our very own Lisa May celebrates her birthday today.
Yeah!
Come on. Give it up for Lisa and keep those penis pictures coming in.
Penis.
I think I'm good now.
No.
Thank you, though.
I don't think you are.
I've got enough.
I don't think you do yet. Of course, Lisa.
All full up.
At krock.com.
Damn, that girl is tight.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Black Keys on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Monday morning. As you know, our man Kevin is deep in the Amazon jungle in Brazil for the World Cup right now. But before he left us with this gift.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And you just dive and roll and put the pain on your face. And you're holding your ankle like it just got cut off at the knee.
That was a moment.
You know, when you get your ankle cut off the knee, Lisa.
I remember that. I wrote it down when he said it.
Very painful.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, your level of interest in the World Cup.
I pay attention to the results. If I happen to catch the game somewhere, I'll watch it for a little bit. But it's not something that I'm not really a sports person.
In general, yeah, you don't watch basketball or football Mm-mm. or anything. Okay,
Mm-mm.
So no real effort then to watch the amazing game yesterday against Portugal. I was glued to it every minute. Muggs, you had the most remarkable watching experience because the U.S. had the biggest comeback in U.S. World Cup history to take the lead 2-1. And then with less than 30 seconds left in the game, Portugal scored to tie it up. A very disappointing outcome for the team. But you were dozing during the final minutes of that game. How is that even possible?
Well, yeah, I had a long weekend, so.
Right, but.
And soccer's very, it's 90 minutes. I mean,
And yes, but in the final 2 minutes of an exciting game like that, you couldn't stay awake long enough to watch it?
Unfortunately, no.
That's you fell asleep right at
that's
the end?
Unbelievable.
I was going in and
today.
Out of in and out of snooze, yeah.
And there was nothing that you saw coming across your TV show from the jungle that made you go, wow, this is really exciting and great?
No, not at the time. Not at the moment.
No. Well, it's all down to Thursday now. The U.S. is there's an excellent chance they are going to advance to the next round of 16 teams. A couple of things have to go their way. Obviously, it would help to beat Germany. That would do it. A tie would even do it. And then there's some other more complicated things about goal differentials that we don't need to get into here. But I will tell you, one man who was very excited yesterday was the coach of the U.S. World Cup team. And he is, of course, Jürgen Klinsmann, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Klinsmann, welcome to the show, sir. How are you? Congratulations.
Yeah, guten Tag. Thank you very much for all the congratulations.
And whatnot, yes. Very disappointing to lose that, to lose the victory in the last 30 seconds, but I mean, a tie does put you in a great position to advance, right?
Not as good as winning would have put us in the position.
Yes, winning would already have been through to the next round. You wouldn't even have to worry about the third
that'd
game.
That'd be better. That's what I was hoping for, more better.
Yeah, that would have been better.
But instead, Portugal. This is why we should have wiped them off the map in the first place. In World War II when we had the chance.
No, we're
taking over Portugal.
No. Look, I know you're German and whatnot.
We should have sent in the Luftwaffe.
Okay, this
we
is...
We should have bombed them and bombed them. I did it with nothing left but Portuguese pink mist.
Okay. I know that you're excited about the...
Deutschland, Deutschland, Jürgen. Alles,
no, we're not...
Hold on a second. Hey, what are you doing standing up? That's better.
No! What's happening there? Where are you? What are you doing?
The team had to flop and fall down and roll around like little baby girls.
Oh, I was afraid that you shot somebody, Jürgen. That was my concern there.
You would have heard a gunshot if that was the case.
Okay, good.
Unless I had a silencer.
Now, Jürgen, I know that you're a very big soccer star in Germany.
Yeah,
You helped Germany win the World Cup back in the 90s. And
that's
you're
very
popular. But now you're coaching for the U.S. side.
Yeah.
And I don't think any kind of talk of wiping nations off the map is really the approach that we need here, sir.
Oh, I think it's more of what we need. Because when we try to play all nicey-nice, that's when you get scored on in less than 30 seconds.
Yes. Well, that could be very disappointing. So what are you going to do differently against your old club of Germany when you play them on Thursday?
I'm going to arm all the players.
Arm them with what?
With handguns.
Okay.
I don't think
more guns, Lugers, Schmausers, something easy to carry and easy to conceal in the waistband of the shorty chops.
You understand that you can't bring a weapon onto the pitch at a World Cup game,
show
right?
Show me the rules when it says that, smarty guy.
Well, I'm certain that it's in there somewhere.
Oh, I'm certain that it is. Show me the rule. Show me the rule. I believe nothing.
I don't.
Hey, you over there. That's better. You fall down like a baby man.
I don't think they let anybody into the stadium with a gun. It's a security issue. There's 90,000 people there.
No, but you can easily go into the locker rooms with them. Or we put them in the locker rooms before the game, and then you conceal it someplace, and then next thing you know, bang, bang, goodbye.
I don't, that doesn't sound like much of a strategy to me. I'm sorry to say, Jürgen.
Or we tunnel beneath the pitch itself. And we sneak in other secret commandos to take them out during one of the many, many, just legendarily long, heartbreakingly long pauses in the game.
You know, it sounds a little bit, as I speak with you here, Coach, that maybe you're not a fan of the game of soccer.
This is war. This is not a game. This means everything. This is the World Cup. For the world, you understand? The world!
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
That's right. Keep falling down, baby pants.
Hey, Muggs, would you happen to have the winner's name for who is going to Chicago for Lollapalooza the first weekend of August?
You have a drum roll? It is Pat Jackson of Redondo Beach.
Woo!
Pat Jackson of Redondo Beach, you are going to Chicago to see Kings of Leon, Foster, The People, Lord, Eminem, and so much more for the world-famous K-Rock. Congratulations. That is K-Rock's road trip stop number one. Number two, by the way, and we're going to qualify you for this later on this morning here on K-Rock, is the Life is Beautiful Festival. This one's in Las Vegas, and it's another incredible lineup. Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, Fits in the Tantrums, Kanye West, so much more. You can get the details and a chance to qualify at krock.com. Everybody is talking about Jeremy Meeks. He is Dreamy McMugshot. Have you seen this guy, Lisa?
No, but I want to.
He basically looks like a Calvin Klein model. It's
funny.
Oh, wait,
I have his picture. Holy crap.
Right?
He's handsome.
He's so handsome that men and women alike are able to look past the fact that he is a convicted felon multiple times. This guy has been in and out of jail a bunch of times in the last 15 years. But since his latest arrest, he ended up on the Fresno police website, and the world is just going crazy for him. Listen to this.
Hello, Cell Block 9. The chiseled cheeks, those blue eyes. It is the mugshot going viral and alleged criminal stealing hearts all around the world. Jeremy Meeks was arrested, accused of a host of gun and gang-related crimes, including being a felon in possession of a firearm. To the ladies, this is one fine felon. On the streets and online, quite a few are volunteering to rehabilitate this rebel.
He's absolutely adorable, and whatever he did, he should be pardoned immediately.
Meeks' mugshot has more than 75,000 likes on the Stockton Police Department's Facebook page. People leaving comments like, I wish I was his victim, I want to be in his cell, and please take me hostage. There are offers for hideouts. If you need a place to hide from the police, my door is always open. And offers for potential jobs like model material. Hope someone signs this guy or that will be a crime. Jeremy Meeks is a convicted felon arrested on some very serious gang and weapon charges. Also, ladies, in addition to the rap sheet, Meeks is a married man.
I love some of those comments on the website. I wish I was his victim. This just shows you how obsessed we are with how hot people are, doesn't it?
It's true, because you look at him and you go, why a life of crime? Why not a model?
Right. I think this is going to be potentially an interesting phone topic because you're willing to overlook a lot of bad stuff if the person is hot enough. I mean, let's face it. Lots of people have dated somebody who's really dumb because mm-hmm. they're attractive. I mean, that's a perfect example. As you know, you're giving up something on one side of the equation just because they so make up for it on the other side of the equation.
Oh, yeah. You stay 5 years longer than you should because you're like, but look at him.
But look at him or look at her. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So we want to take your phone calls on this. You put up with a lot because the person was really, really hot. Otherwise, there would have been a million deal breakers for you. You never would have continued to date this person that did or said this awful thing, but look at them. Look how hot they were.
I know, it's horrible.
We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. There is quite a backlash, by the way, as a result of this kerfuffle going on at the Stockton Police Department's Facebook page, because there are all these people who are like, you know, why are there, you know, here's one person who said, I find it incredibly sad that an alleged felon on this page gets so much more attention on Facebook than a fallen officer. I mean,
oh, yeah.
When you put it in that perspective, I mean, there, you know, you look at what's available on the website there, and this guy is far and away the most popular thing there.
And he's getting all these likes.
He's getting all these likes and all these people who are willing to just forget everything that he's done. You know, he's been arrested for beating up a kid,
aww,
for instance. He's done all sorts of in and out of jail for the last 15 years. He was affiliated with a criminal street gang called the Northside Gangster Crip. And people are just, yeah, but look at him. Look at that jawline. Look at those blue eyes.
And I got to tell you, they have pictures of him over the years. He just gets better with age.
Yeah, what's that about, by the way?
Well, he got rid of all the facial hair. He shaved his head, and now
he's just
like,
I'm looking at him in 2002, and he's a regular-looking guy. 2009, he's a good-looking guy. 2014, he literally looks like he's right out of a Calvin Klein ad.
I think he got thinner. Look at those cheekbones.
All right, Lisa, steady. The point here is he's a bad dude, and you don't want anything to do with him, Lisa.
That's what I meant to say.
One commenter said those obsessing over Jeremy Meeks' look should consider his crime. He's a convicted felon who was in possession of firearms, meaning that due to his prior record, he was not allowed to have a firearm. There is nothing attractive about that, but there's a lot attractive about this, apparently. All right, let's take a couple of calls here on K-Rock at 1-800-520-1067. You put up with a lot, including some bad, bad stuff, because the person was just too attractive to let him go. Let's go to Yvette. She's up first. She's on line two, and she calls us from Hacienda Heights. Hi, Yvette. How are you, my dear?
Hi, good morning. Hi, Lisa Mae.
Good morning.
So you hear what we're talking about. You have lived through this?
I have unfortunately lived through this. I had a boyfriend for 5 years who was blue eyes, tall, good-looking, nice body, and was cheap. I mean, we would go on vacation. He wouldn't bring a dollar with him.
Oh.
And I would just put up with him. My family absolutely hated him, and I would just bring him along because I'd be like, look at him, guys.
So he was so good-looking that you were willing to just basically pay for everything.
Pay for everything, and with a smile on my face, yeah.
I love it.
And did you sense that that's what his life had been like, as he had been one of those guys who was just so darned good-looking that people were just willing to bend over backwards for him?
I think so, and I bent over any way he wanted to. So, yeah, it worked out.
All right, Yvette, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's take one more real quick before the break, and it's going to be Chris. He's in Sherman Oaks. Hey, Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Oh, man, I was dating this really, really super hot Sri Lankan girl that looked like she could have been a supermodel, and it turned out that she was a 24-year-old virgin waiting for marriage.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
For 4 months, I put up with that, and I was trying to hope, you know, I'd try and sneak a touch, and she would just get mad, and I'm just like, oh, my God, dude, are you serious?
In other words, yeah. She was way too good looking for you to accept the fact that she wanted to remain a virgin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, it was really ridiculous.
All right. This is going to be a weird question, Chris, but why didn't you marry her?
Because I was only dating her for 4 months. There's no way.
Was there anything wrong with her? Like, could it have ended up being something if you'd stuck with it?
Possibly. Possibly,
just wasn't willing to wait and find out.
Well, see, this is a good
no
way to.
No way, I was going to wait. Oh my God, you have no idea. If you would have saw her, you would like melt it.
This is a good way for her to sort through men.
I guess so. Yeah, if you're not willing to put in the time, then you're not right for babe. All right, Chris, thanks for the call. You put up with a lot because he or she was hot. That's the topic. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kid Show. Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
Never happened to you.
Nope.
That's a surprise.
Why?
Because some girls are really hot.
Yeah.
Please elaborate.
But if I have a conversation with that girl and I realize that she's crazy or obnoxious or annoying or whatever, then I'm out.
Then how do you explain all of Beer Mug's choices?
Explain.
Think about Beer Mug.
Yes.
Think about what he puts up with.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, look, I said I can only speak for myself. I'm the kind of person that I have a low tolerance for everything.
Right.
And so,
in general,
he's
with
just
people.
A cranky pants.
And so if I'm, if I'm having a conversation with a beautiful girl, I mean, obviously her looks were, part and parcel of why I would engage in conversation with her. But if early on I got an inkling that she was a bitch or she had issues or whatever, I would be like, no, I would bail early because it's just not worth it for me. I guess for some people it is. For me, I never really – I would be much more apt to – stay in a relationship with a woman for the fact she had a great personality or she was great in bed or a lot of fun to be around, even if I knew there wasn't a lot of long-term potential for, marriage or whatever.
Right, because it's just more enjoyable time.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to spend my time with anyone, I want it to be as enjoyable as possible. I was never willing to sacrifice my time and energy with anyone who wasn't going to be a joy to be around because of looks. It just didn't make any sense to me. Never did.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Oscar Chino Hills, we're going to get to you in 1 second. Ralph, you watching Nurse Jackie?
Not this season. No.
Oh, okay. I do.
All right, Lisa, you know the really, really hot with the unbelievable body doctor that's on that show.
Yes, and she's just a horrible human being.
She's just a terrible human being, and she's so stupid. And I just, in a million years, could never date her, no matter how hot she is. I guess everybody has it's got to be the right balance of hot enough, but not annoying,
right.
Not too annoying.
That's
you know what
I mean? Saying. I mean, beautiful can turn ugly real quick with the right, or in this case, wrong attitude or wrong behavior or wrong personality. It's just that initial attraction fades so quickly when the ugliness underneath is exposed.
Yeah, you need something to prop that the relationship up. Relationship
easy
up,
now.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Come on.
All right, let's talk some more about Dreamy McMugshot. Again, 1-800-520-1067. A lot of people have seen his photo on the Fresno Police Department website and would be willing to give him safe harbor the minute he gets out of jail. Let's see what Oscar in Chino Hills has to say. I gave you a heads up a long time ago, Muggs. He should already be on the line. Hey, Oscar, what's up?
Hey, party people.
Hi.
So, one, she was a stripper. Okay.
All right.
Two, she had this. Two pit bulls. I don't like dogs. I got bit when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Psycho ex-boyfriends, because they still thought she was hot. I had to deal with them. I had to get in altercations with them for 2 years.
Good Lord.
Oh, there's more. She has three kids. that at times I had to babysit because of her job. She was, you know, and I had to take care of the kids at night.
Uh-huh.
She was an alcoholic and did drugs. So once in a while, I had to go get the drugs because we couldn't get her in trouble. She's a mom, of course.
Good and Lord, Oscar.
Thing. No. This is the last thing. She had a threesome with my best friend and my best friend's wife.
And this is two years you spent with her?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
It sounds it. Sounds like a party every single day. What, did she have a solid gold vagina?
No, just, you know, just the California blonde, blue eyes, great body, just, you know.
But everything. I think
you can't find that.
Yeah, but what's it say about you, Oscar, that for 2 years you put up with all of that?
Yeah, it was all worth it, man.
But it wasn't, obviously. What about,
Oscar,
to Ralph's point, that there are a million other girls that look like her in California who don't have half that baggage?
Yeah, but you know what? Aside of all that baggage, she was really nice and a really sweet girl.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Absolutely. No, because there are no other sweet girls out there either. You're right.
Take your life.
You'll never get back, Oscar.
Appreciate the call. When you're out there, you know, running drugs for her and babysitting her kids, getting in fights with her ex-boyfriends, at some point, don't you think it's not worth
it? This all comes down to self-worth and self-esteem on every level, whether it's a man involved with a woman or vice versa. If you don't have a certain level of respect for yourself, there's stuff that you will not put up with, then you will just end up in one of these situations.
Yeah, I agree. 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number here on the Kevin Bean Show. Trying to find out what you put up with because the person was that hot. Let's go to Nicole. She is up next. She is in Mission Viejo. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. What's it? We're horrified by some of these stories we're hearing today.
Let's hear about your lack of self-respect.
Okay, so I was pretty much seeing this guy for about 6 months, about 4 months. And I actually moved him into my place, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm working. I'm going to work. And he was working really odd hours. I actually let him use my car to go to work back and forth. He'd pick me up from work. And out of nowhere, a whole SWAT team arrives to my house, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then they're like, where is he? And at first, like, I was like, well, he's not here, and he was in my room hiding. And I was like, and then once they started waving pistols in my face, I was like, oh, he's here. He's in the back. And apparently when he said he was working, he was out robbing houses, and he apparently broke into one house and was jumped by three guys, and then in self-defense, so they say, or he says, he, like, stabbed somebody, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, and he's still locked up now, and he swears, oh, I'm getting out next month, I'm getting out next month. And I'm like, nope, that's it. It's a wrap.
Dude, what did he look like? I want to know what kind of looks you need to have in order to get a woman to put up with this.
Okay, believe it or not, he was something similar to this mugshot. He was probably actually about 5'8". This guy looks like he's 6'1", 6'2". But he was about 5'8". He was Hispanic, and he had that scruffy beard, super charismatic. You know, knew all the right things to say, and it was just, my thing was, he had a lot of confidence, and
that's, and you have none.
I do have some now.
By the way, to be an accessory after the fact.
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't even mention, by the way, for folks who haven't seen this website, this Jeremy Meeks website in Fresno, though, he's got a teardrop tattoo on his face too, which that means trouble in the prison parlance, doesn't it? I killed a dude or something? Doesn't that have
it can, or just means he's really sensitive and he cries a lot.
That could be it too. All right, Nicole, it sounds like you've moved past that and you're making some better choices now, huh?
Absolutely.
Until he gets out,
and then you guys are back.
Then you're the Clyde. You're the Bonnie to his Clyde again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks for calling. That sounds like it's over. That song just completely ended.
Mm-hmm. That's not coming back.
They do that.
It's not coming back anytime soon.
Wow, I wish I could have seen that coming. Rob is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Since it is Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Think Like a Man 2, in its debut, did $30 million. People like that Kevin Hart.
They sure do. I like him, by the way.
I do, too. I like him a lot. I just wish his movies were a little bit better. 22 Jump Street made $29 million. It was good enough to make it number 2 at the box office. How to Train Your Dragon 2 was 3rd. Jersey Boys, in its debut, a paltry $13.5 million. Not getting good reviews, that film, but I still plan on checking it out.
Not getting good reviews, being based on oldies music that a lot of people don't care about, and having no stars. It definitely had a lot of things going against it.
Yeah. I just hope they made it for on the cheap so that they make their money back. Maleficent was fifth. Edge of Tomorrow was sixth. The Fault in Our Stars was seventh. X-Men, Days of Future Past, Chef, and Godzilla were your top 10 movies at the box office. Over the weekend, Tracy Morgan has been released from the hospital where he was recovering after that horrific traffic accident. And he has gone to a private rehab center where he will continue to try to recover from his injuries. Tracy's people are telling the press that he continues to show signs of improvement but still has a long way to go. But this is a big step, getting him out of the hospital and getting him into a rehab situation. We'll do wonders for him. Bill Cosby recently was asked if he would like to do a Cosby Show reunion with the cast, and Cosby said basically, no thanks.
I bet he did.
Those characters are too old now, he said. Huxtable would be retired, and she would be retired, and right now they'd be somewhere in the south of France, and they'd be hiding in a bakery in the morning having two croissants and blueberry jam. So once again, Bill Cosby remains incomprehensible, and no one really knows what he's talking about. They'd be at the bakery with croissants and the jam and blueberry. Gethin Anthony was made a star on HBO's Game of Thrones until his character, Renly, was killed off. Spoiler alert. Now he is moving over to NBC to play a much more well-known character, Charles Manson. There's going to be a 13-episode miniseries called Aquarius, which will star David Duchovny as an undercover cop who goes after the, at the time, budding cult leader, Charles Manson, and his family. No word from NBC about an official premiere date yet, but take my money now. I'm in.
Yeah, that David sounds Duchovny great.
In the late 60s, hunting down Charles Manson? Yes, please.
That sounds very cool.
It absolutely does. Pearl Jam has a hardcore fan base. But I'm guessing even they were taken aback and sort of puzzled by Eddie Vedder on Friday night as they played in Milan, Italy. Vedder was playing his legendary song, Daughter. And at the tail end, broke into a cover of another song I don't think anybody would expect out of Eddie Vedder. Let It Go from the hit Frozen, the hit Disney show Frozen. Here's what it sounded like. I can't wait to see him on Broadway as, what's her name, Elsa? Is that the name of the princess?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, Lucy Eddie, just a big, long, blonde braid hanging over his shoulder.
There are only a few songs, it seems like, that get so big that they are everywhere. I mean, Call Me Maybe was one of those. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, you start seeing the viral videos with sports teams and the president and everything else, and this Let It Go has turned into one of those.
Bob Dylan in the news, believe it or not. One of his most iconic songs, when you think Bob Dylan, there's a few songs you absolutely think of. I think Blowin' in the Wind, right?
Yeah.
Like a Rolling Stone would have to be another one.
Sure.
And the only known surviving draft of the lyrics to that song, the handwritten Bob Dylan handwritten lyrics for Like a Rolling Stone, apparently are going up for auction. Sotheby's says that they've got the handwritten lyrics in pencil on four sheets of stationery from the Roger Smith Hotel in Washington, D.C. that Bob jotted down these now legendary lyrics, and they're going up for auction tomorrow. What do you think they expect to go for? Sotheby's is estimating what those are going to go for. Four sheets of paper with some scribblings in pencil from Bob Dylan.
I don't have any idea. I'm just going to throw a number out to get us started, and I'll say $100,000.
Yeah, that's not a bad. I'm going to say $80,000.
All right. $2 million.
Oh,
no.
Really?
$2 million. Is the expected amount they're getting. And usually, wow, in these kind of auctions, it ends up going over the estimated amount almost every time. So these could go for more than $2 million.
Yeah. Why? That's unbelievable. I mean, that's it's rock and roll history right there. Here's the moment where he came up with the lyrics to that song. I mean, I get the significance of it, but it's just crazy that they put that kind of value on it.
But it's the collector's mentality. I mean, if you're the guy who owns those handwritten lyrics by Bob Dylan for that song,
yeah,
that's there is no other.
That's right. One of a kind.
It is. It's the quintessential definition of a collectible.
Yeah, I guess so.
And there's a lot of rock guys out there, I'm sure, with that kind of coin, who would spend it.
What is kale? Is that fish?
Yes, it is. To answer your question, Kevin, it is fish. Today's celebrity birthdays. Glenn Danzig of the Misfits is 59 years old today. Randy Jackson from American Idol fame, he is 58.
Very well, job done, baby.
Thank you. Frances McDormand, probably still best known for her starring role in Fargo.
Yeah.
But she's a great actress.
And she's married to one of the Coen brothers, right?
She is. She was in Blood Simple, their first film, which I still love as well. 57 years old. Joss Whedon is 50 years old. Selma Blair turns 42. Jason Mraz celebrates his 37th birthday. Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is 34. And our very own, the lovely, the talented, the patient, the tolerant, Lisa May celebrates her birthday today.
Yay!
Lisa May.
Yay!
Lisa May, the self-congratulatory, self-cheering Lisa May.
So many penis pictures.
Oh,
woo!
Good. See, that's
but not
how,
enough, though, right?
No,
that's
plenty. How we celebrate. So many. Bean, there's no room for more.
Lisa at KROQ.com. Gentlemen, if you want to make Lisa's birthday wishes come true, go ahead and send a photo.
I'm Rob Garman. I walk the show business.
Keep on listening for your chance to qualify for KROQ's Road Trip USA 2014. Stop number two is the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas with Foo Fighters, Arctic Monkeys, Fitz and the Tantrums, Kanye West, and so much more. 9:10 this morning you qualify, and then throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, 6:10. Details at KROQ.com. Zach Braff next hour, right now. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best, Doug Benson.
Oh, thank you.
Doug Benson back on KROQ. Hey, Mr. Benson, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I might just sit around and wait for Braff to show up. I like that guy.
Do you know him? Are you guys celebrity friends?
Haven't met him. Don't know him. Don't know if he smokes weed. Would love to get him on Getting Doug with High, of course.
Oh, he'd be a great get for
him. If he does. But I saw him in Bullets Over Broadway. On Broadway,
oh, no kidding.
A few weeks ago, and
he's getting rave reviews.
It's
for that
really
show.
Good. It's really one of those. I think one of the better, you know, because they're trying to turn every film into a Broadway show now. And it,
right.
You know, like I saw Rocky the night before, and it was rather rocky, but it was the ending of the Rocky on Broadway is really cool because they bring out a big. You know, they bring out an actual boxing ring.
Right.
And it juts out into the crowd. Some people in the front rows have to go sit up on bleachers on the stage.
And you feel like you're at an actual fight.
And then they just recreate the last Apollo Creed Rocky fight from the first Rocky film. And it really looks like they're really punching the crap out of each other. And it's really fun to watch. But prior to that, it's 2 hours of a boring musical about Rocky singing about his turtles.
does the guy who plays Rocky, does he try to sound like Sylvester Stallone from the movie?
Not really. He kind of does his own thing a little bit. But it's just the same dialogue. Like where Bullets Over Broadway, they use a lot of the same dialogue for the movie. But Woody Allen wrote the stage version and just sort of did a great job of adapting it. Whereas Rocky, he's just saying all the exact same things he says in the movie.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's just like watching people reenact the movie, which is, you know, it's a great movie, but that doesn't mean that anybody could just step up and say those lines.
Yeah, right,
and
exactly.
Be entertaining.
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
Exactly. Let me get some business out of the way here. Doug Benson is here. He's going to be doing Getting Doug with High live at the Largo. That is going to be tonight with special surprise guests starting at 9 o'clock. For folks who haven't seen Getting Doug with High, Doug, explain what that show is.
It's normally we go off on the show is live on my YouTube channel on Wednesday afternoons at 4:15 Pacific time, which means by 4:20, me and my guests start smoking. And then we smoke and chat for the entire show. So it's like about 45 minutes of just a smoke session with you know, hopefully somebody people recognize, but sometimes it's just comedian friends of mine. And then the thing we do live at Largo that we're doing tonight for the fourth time, it's me and five guests on the stage together passing around vaporizer bags from a volcano because we can't light actual flames.
That was going to be my question. How do you get around those rules?
Yeah, it's because it's vapor and because it's, you know, just a machine that puts the smoke into the bag and then you put it into your lungs and then you blow it out. There's no fire. So we're able to do it in the Largo Theater, beautiful Largo Theater in Los Angeles. It's, you know, seats like 300 people. And it's an extra challenge for the guests because people would rather come in studio and just sit with me because it almost feels like it's not, you know, it's not being broadcast to the world and it's, you know, just it's more intimate. There's something about doing it in front of an audience makes people extra tense and kind of freeze up. So
you have to bring better weed then if they start off extra tense.
Well, everybody gets pretty damn high by the end because it's also longer. We go for about 90 minutes tonight and every time we do it at Largo, and it's we've had some crazy shows there. So I hope that people listening. I'm not sure if, 8:09 a.m. is the best time to grab pot smokers and get them to come out tonight.
Absolutely.
But, you know, a lot of people are up early today for Lisa May's birthday.
Yay!
Yeah, our listeners sometimes do have to get up. Go to largo-la.com. Tickets are just $20 to see Getting Dug with Hyde tonight at the Largo. That's on La Cienega in Los Angeles. By the way, speaking of the thing you do on Wednesday afternoons, you made some reference to it on this week's episode, but what happened with Matt Walsh? He was in, then he was out, then he was in. What happened?
He came and he did the show. And
he's a hilarious comedian and also actor on Veep, for folks who don't know.
Yeah, and he's one of the first four with Amy Poehler and two other dudes, the originator of the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And they have theaters in Los Angeles and L.A., and yeah, and he's great. And those theaters have been very supportive of me and my, I do Doug Lowe's movies there. But he came on. Was a totally great sport, was a complete champ, smoked like crazy the whole time, also didn't lose it. You know, like I love when people come on and they just smoke and they're completely lucid and normal because it just makes it all seem just like it's no big deal. So he did the show, and then a week or so later, we get a message from him or his people saying, hey, can you pull that down? Matt has second thoughts about it because of his children. He's worried that his children are going to see it. And so I said, yeah, he can pull the episode down if he makes a personal message explaining why that people will see when they click on the archived version of his show. It won't be there anymore. And it's up to like 16,000 people now have watched this clip of him just saying, yeah, sorry, I love doing the show. I had a good time, but I just, for my own personal reasons, I'd rather it not be on the internet anymore. But then he also said in that clip, and he goes, and I'd love to do it again sometime. So that
just
doesn't
so
make
you
any
can't
sense
see it.
At all. Yeah, I want to do it again and then have that one pulled down. So he's a great guy, though. And
he may have been higher when he made the apology video than he was when he made the actual show.
Yeah, yeah, he's like just laying back with his phone, taking a film of himself. But yeah,
that's hilarious.
Most people say no beforehand for those kind of reasons, like my kids or my parents or. I've got friends that do a lot of voiceovers for like Disney and stuff, and so they don't want to risk any problems there. But
you don't want the mouse to come down on you.
Some people are just go for it. You know, like Aubrey Plaza has a gig that she could that she should maybe be worried about on NBC, and she came on. You know, and lots of other folks. So it's just different with each person. But I think also. Like, that's part of the fun of it. As marijuana starts to get more and more legal everywhere, it's going to get easier to get people. But it's still going to be sort of one of the first shows of its kind, so people will still watch it.
Absolutely,
yeah. It's like people have been getting drunk for forever, but drunk history is popular because it's still fun to watch somebody get too drunk.
That's right.
And then try to recap
history.
Let's
remember, by the way, we now live in a country with a president that admits to smoking marijuana.
Yeah, the last three presidents.
They all denied it.
Have done that thing that some people are in jail for.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's very strange.
Doug Benson is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, the Getting Doug with High is going to be live at the Largo tonight. What did you do for Doug Loves Movies last night?
We did a special afternoon episode of the show, and It was over at, you know, Chris Hardwick's Empire.
At the Nerd Melt.
Nerd Melt at the Meltdown Comics. He has a theater in the back. I think he's doing so well he should look into getting some air conditioning. But aside from that, it was a fantastic turnout and a really fun show because one of the guests was, if you listen to the show, there's Mark Wahlberg's been on it a lot lately. And the reason Mark Wahlberg's been on it a lot lately is because it's Mark Wahlberg in quotes. It's my friend Dan Van Kirk who
does it.
Really good yes. Mark Wahlberg impression, and really good at capturing his attitude. And so so he was a guest for the entire show, and I just love knowing there's people out there listening to it that don't catch on that it's a guy pretending to be Mark Wahlberg, and I treat him like I would treat Mark Wahlberg if he was on the show, you know, with some respect, but also there's some jokes to be made. So it was really fun, and it should be available nowish. It should come out sometime today.
What movie did you guys do?
Oh, it was it was Doug Loves Movies. So we talk about just whatever
all of them, yeah,
movies
all
come
of them.
Up, and then we play games and stuff. But I did have fun doing a movie interruption where we sit in the front row and interrupt movies. I was in Philadelphia last Thursday, and we watched a 30th anniversary screening of Revenge of the Nerds.
Now, how does that hold up?
It holds up great.
Really?
It's really funny. It's really consistently funny. It's only 90 minutes long. Like, comedies today have just gone crazy with the 2 hours. It's 90 minutes. It's tight. A lot of the gags still work. And then we had Booger and Takashi sitting there with me in the front row with mics making their jokes about the experience and making it. So it was really fun.
You really do have the dream job, don't you, Doug?
The dream jobs, yes. I food, movies, and weed. I've created podcasts for all so that I can just enjoy them, so it could just be my job to just enjoy those things.
Unbelievable. On Twitter, at Doug Benson, DougLoveMovies.com, of course, Doug's YouTube channel, and so much more. A lot of ways to get your Doug, and we'll talk some more with our guests when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Doug Benson in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Doug, you have fans tuning in just to hear you from all over the country today, from Las Vegas and from Seattle and from New York. A lot of Doug Benson fans out there.
Yeah, I throw the tweets out because, there's no such thing as local radio anymore, at least if you're doing it right. People can check out the live stream from anywhere.
Yeah.
By the way, let me ask you your opinion on this. So today's Lisa May's birthday. Thank you for noting that. And so we're doing the annual tradition where the listeners send in their penis photos, right? Which is, what girl doesn't like that? Lisa May, between the songs, complaining about the penis photos. Oh, this one's not cropped right. Oh, this one has too much belly. Oh, this is a bad angle. Oh, this one doesn't have enough light. What's up with women today, Doug?
A lot of guys.
I don't know. They're just not satisfied.
They think that they can just, their stomach sticking out. But as long as there's a penis in there, it's going to be amazing.
Just a little effort is what Lisa's suggesting, right?
And how many of them manage to get their face in there? Is it just...
There's no face.
Yeah, because that's the idea is no one will necessarily know it's yours.
Right.
Until it comes from your email address, by the way.
Yeah. Did you get any from Anthony Weiner?
Not yet. I'll keep looking.
Well, if there's not a celebrity penis photo in Lisa's inbox, Doug, before you leave, I'm going to be very disappointed in you.
All right. I'll try to scrape one up.
And by the way, I know you were listening on the... on the way in, you made a comment right as the song was running out there about dating the horrible person just because he or she is hot. Is that something you've lived through, Doug?
Yeah, I was, Ralph kept bringing up, when you hate yourself, you do something like this. I not so much, it was a lack of confidence that I had. I was a fledgling stand-up comic, was, fairly new to living in Los Angeles, and I had only had, a high school sweetheart and a college sweetheart, and they were attractive enough, but, I hadn't really gotten into the game yet. I was pretty nerdy. But I was starting to make some inroads as a stand-up, and I had a good set one night, and a hot model saw it, and we had a mutual friend, so we got together, and next thing I knew, this model was my girlfriend, and she was, 6 or 7 years younger than me, and gorgeous, and it was just great. She was kind of a bitch, but it was it's kind of nice when you're dating a model that she's a bitch to all the other guys. You know what I mean? Like, she's only nice to you, You don't have to worry about, her going with some other dude. So she was extremely faithful. But she went to Chicago for a summer after we'd been dating for maybe a year or so.
And wow, so this was a long-term thing.
Almost practically living together, yeah. And she went to Chicago for the summer, and it just... I don't know if it was the heat or just, you know, the city life compared to, like, you know, in Los Angeles, she lived, like, out in Thousand Oaks. And she goes to Chicago, and she would send me letters, you know, it was back when people did that. And she'd send me letters, and they were, like, on pink stationery, and she had really cute handwriting. And she started dropping N-bombs in these letters about being in Chicago. You know, like, oh, I had to ride the bus today. All these stupid N-words.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, and I was just like, what? You know, like, what am I going to do about this? So then she came back eventually, and then the plan was she was going to go to Paris to model there. And so she was only in L.A. for a couple weeks, so I had some more awesome sex with her. Uh-huh. And then
you had to have the talk.
And then before she left, she broke up with me.
Oh, you're kidding.
She's like, I'm going to Paris. I don't know how long I'm going to be there. We should just end this. And I was like, okay. Oh, well.
It did save you an awkward conversation, though.
It did, but it was also, yeah, but I mean, in the letters, I didn't even write back, like, what are you saying? You know, I was just too into having a model girlfriend.
Right.
And thinking, yeah, I could never get another model girlfriend. And it's true, it has never happened again. But,
so go ahead and put up with it as long as possible. That's your advice.
Yes.
Is a relationship like that, and you're an average to better than average looking guy, but is a relationship with a model, is that fraught with danger because you know that everyone is trying to get with your lady?
Yeah, but like I said, she was so unpleasant that, that as a person that like, but she was fine with me, you know, so it in that case it worked out. But yeah, in general, you know, it's not a good thing to get involved with if you're the type of person that's worried about it all the time. And,
yeah, it seems like it. You know. Now, was it tough for you to move on to other girls who weren't models? Did you find yourself always compared? Look, this is a much nicer person, but she's just not as hot as the last one. Did you go through any of that?
Not really, because, you know, she was a model, but she wasn't like, you know, a Victoria's Secret model.
Right.
Right.
You know, she was just a working model. So
gotcha.
It wasn't, you know, and she didn't have any of that kind of like foreign appeal. So many of the sexy girls now have an accent and stuff, you know.
Yeah, they're like from the Czech Republic or someplace.
Yeah. So she was just like a, you know, just a regular kind of American looking girl, but blonde hair, you know. But she was.
Now, what about when you get to be, you know, superstar Doug Benson? You get to be the Doug Benson we all know and love from the movies and TV. Now what? Now what's the level of attraction like for?
I mean, lots of ladies? Extremely beautiful girls, but like I'm still not like that sort of thing. A model would like most models would be like, he's stupid, you know, like just like I'm just so silly and ridiculous and high all the time that it's just not. I don't think I'll ever score a model again.
Even though they know you're holding.
Yeah. Well. Some models smoke. Girls in porn smoke. I've learned that. They smoke a lot of weed because they need to do something to get through the whole experience.
Oh, no. No, don't make it sound sad, Doug.
It kind of is.
we want to think that the ladies are loving it.
Well, that's the best ones give you that impression. But, you know,
that's why they're called actresses, right?
Yes, exactly.
Doug Benson is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Getting Doug with High is going to be live at the Largo Theater tonight with a special surprise guest. Doors open at 7:30, showtime at 9 o'clock. Tickets just $20 at largo-la.com. By the way, new comedy album coming out next month as well through iTunes and Amazon. The last one you did was the one that you taped on 420, right, up in San Francisco?
I do one on – I tape a new album on 420 every year for like
so this one's same deal. This one's, this is this year's 420 album.
This is the new 420 album, and I love – movies and the whole sequelitis and the fact that they have a number and a colon and then a subtitle.
Right.
So I decided you don't see that in comedy albums. So I decided my last album was called Gateway Doug. So the new one is called Gateway Doug 2, : Forced Fun.
I love it.
And it's kind of an experiment that no one will probably take advantage of. But Gateway Doug and Gateway Doug 2, if you take the two albums and you listen to track one on the first one, then track one on the second one, and two and two and three, if you go through both albums that way, it's one massive set that all links together and makes sense.
Oh, no kidding.
What?
Theoretically. I haven't listened to it that way, but I tried to prepare it that way. And
wow.
And like I said, no one's probably going to do it. But if anyone out there does, please tweet at me what that experience was like.
If we do that the same time we're listening to Dark Side of the Moon backwards, then what happens? Do we
then,
see God?
No, you go to Oz. You're transported to Oz.
Gateway Doug 2, Force to Fun, is available on July the 8th.
And Bean, you dragged it out of me. One of my special guests tonight at Largo is going to be Sarah Silverman.
Can you tell us anything about the special guests that are going to be on with you tonight at Largo, Doug?
I can't say anything, Bean. I keep the guests a secret because I love for the audience to be surprised. And
oh,
also,
that's fantastic.
Sometimes a guest has to cancel.
That is worth the price of admission.
Especially when
right
you
there.
Mention her name on the radio.
Yeah, she was hoping to get out of this anonymously.
Now she's got a reason to not show up.
That is going to be super, super fun, Doug. That's going
yeah,
to be
yeah, the rest of the guests are amazing as well. And I think all five are people that have all previously been on the studio version. So they're all good at smoking.
Doug always brings it. Check it out tonight live at Largo. And definitely check out his YouTube channel for all the Getting Doug with Highs. Pleasure to see you again, my friend. Have a great summer. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Monday morning on the world famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ here on the first week of summer. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Hey, Lisa May, a website called Muck Rock. Heard about that?
Nope.
I hadn't either.
What is
Muckrock.com. They specialize in filing freedom of information requests. So they just send off official requests to government agencies saying, hey, what you got on that? And they recently petitioned the FBI. And this is hilarious. Listen to this. This is a request under the Freedom of Information Act. I hereby request the following records. A copy of all records or documentation available to FBI agents or other FBI personnel or contractors, which provides information on how to interpret or understand so-called leet speak. Leet speak is obfuscated form of communication where letters are replaced with numbers or symbols or unusual spellings or abbreviations are used or a combination of these aspects. So basically what they want to know is, what does the FBI know about initials that people use on the internet, like LOL and BRB?
Are you serious?
And apparently the FBI complied in a document they call Twitter Shorthand, which is a list of 3,000 internet acronyms and their definitions.
Wow.
So I guess the FBI, my assumption is that they are monitoring lots of communications from Americans on the internet. So when they see, you know, OW, they go, what does that mean? Oh, it means other woman. When they see PTB, what does that stand for? Powers that be.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
WMP, with much pleasure, or Windows Media Player. That one can be both. So I'm fascinated by this and what the FBI is coming up with and how this whole thing works. So we asked producer Dave if he could please line us up somebody. And I believe we have a special agent from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Cliff Nutley joins us here on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Nutley.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine, sir. Thanks so much for joining us. Was I correct in the setup? I mean, this is an official FBI memo called Twitter Shorthand?
Absolutely. Here at the FBI, we are constantly intercepting messages sent via the internet, via Twitter and emails and what have you. And so in order to properly understand and in some cases decode those messages, we need to have a full dictionary of abbreviations used by the kids today, because let's face it, they have their own language sometimes, these crazy kids with their lava lamps and their rock and roll music and their beanbag chairs. I mean, who can understand them?
I don't think anyone's had a lava lamp or a beanbag chair in many decades.
Oh, sure they have, with their love beads and their You need to know what's happening with the cool cats.
Sure, right.
Well, you get left behind if you don't know what the groovy kids are smoking these days.
Understood. You sound like the right guy for this job. Yeah. So in other words, you don't want them to be able to plan some sort of nefarious activity under your nose and you miss it just because you're unfamiliar with the lingo.
Right. We hate to see an abbreviation, you know, JFK, and we think it's, you know, John F. Kennedy.
Right.
Our president.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And no, it's just for kicks.
Ah.
Just for kicks. Okay.
You know,
all
the
right.
Kids love to get their kicks now with their horse and their Mary Jane.
Are you talking about drugs?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, drugs. The scourge of this nation.
Okay. I was really surprised to see, I mean, you know, some of them are fairly well known. KIA, we know, is, you know, killed in action, for instance.
Oh, is it?
Well, isn't it killed in action?
Or is it know-it-all?
Oh, I...
Ooh, now you see what we're up against.
Oh, I see.
Against these kids, they don't just speak one crazy language. They've got several crazy languages.
Okay. Well, what has surprised you about the internet abbreviations that you've been seeing, Mr. Nutley?
That many of them have multiple answers for them. I mean, mm-hmm. it's very confusing. They'd say, oh, this weekend I'm going to LV.
Las Vegas.
Or Louis Vuitton.
Oh. Right? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know whether to go to the flamingo, to stake out the flamingo, or to go down to Rodeo Drive and see if she's going to walk out with a purse. I don't know.
I see.
I don't know
okay.
what the hell this girl's going to do.
So it's kind of confusing to you.
Women, don't get me started.
I'm right there with you, brother.
Yeah, I hear you, son. So, yeah, we've got 83 pages of these kind of crazy abbreviations. And now, of course, the FBI, in order to streamline our own interpersonal communication and interoffice communication, we've had to set up our own series of abbreviated terms in order to get our point across to fellow agents and officers.
Can you give us some examples of the types of things the Bureau is using?
Yes, BEW is one you'll see quite often amongst the agents to each other.
I can't imagine.
My bitch ex-wife.
Oh, of which you all have one.
That whore.
Okay,
oh, you work too late. Oh, your hours. Oh, you're always traveling. Uh-huh. Yeah, to protect the United States of America. How about that? That's why I'm traveling.
All right, I think we're going off on an ugly tangent here, Agent. I'm sorry.
Other phrases we use, mm-hmm. the SWFMEWNB.
I won't attempt to repeat that, but what does that one mean?
That means search warrant for my ex-wife's new boyfriend.
I see. Again, that sounds awfully personal, to your situation, I think.
APB, FAHB.
Nope. Okay.
All points bulletin for a hot blonde. I need a date.
You really do.
Okay, but
this is
not how you use the agency's resources.
It is. If I send that to another agent, he says, "Oh, I'm going to, all right, Cliff's going to be looking out for a blonde. I'll keep my eyes open."
I don't know why you're sharing this information.
Especially if she's WTOTOBA.
What is that?
Willing to put out to avoid being arrested.
Wait, I don't think that's handy. Legal.
Yeah, that definitely sounds illegal.
I just hope CMD, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Carpets match the drapes.
Oh,
okay. Really? Zach Braff in the next room joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you saying?
It's in the Jack Fraff, isn't that?
No, that's how Joan Rivers pronounced it. Zach Braff is actually the young man.
Once I heard her interpretation, I thought that was the way.
He will be here talking about his outstanding, I assume, new movie called Wish I Was Here. That's coming up. And by the way, before we get into Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here, Ralph, I want to put out a plug for your Nerdist.com appearance.
Ah.
Listen to most of the podcast of you sitting down with our friend Chris Hardwick that was just posted on Friday. Very entertaining, I think. Of course, the Garmy already knows about it, but people who at all are interested in you, Ralph Garman, the man, I think will be interested in hearing you guys talk on a wide variety of topics at Nerdist.com.
We did. We covered a lot of stuff, and just always fun just to sit with Chris and just chat.
I was surprised that you were not more disparaging about the Kevin and Bean Show.
That says more about you than it does me, Bean.
I expected that, but actually you not that you said anything nice about it either, but you didn't say anything mean either.
Well, he didn't say, "What do you think of Bean?"
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Had he opened up that can of worms, it would have been another hour on the podcast. But.
Well, if you can't get enough Ralph in your life, you might want to check it out at Nerdist.com. Check out Ralph's appearance on the podcast. Very entertaining. Time now for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Since it is a Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. I think, nope. Think Like a Man 2, in its debut, did $30 million this weekend. If I was a young man and I was looking for a career as a writer, director, in show business, I would make nothing but black comedies.
Yeah, there's a built-in, very faithful audience.
You can rarely go wrong with those films.
Yeah. They make their money back, don't they?
They sure do. I think that is the future of cinema as we know it. So there you have it. There's my advice, kids.
Okay.
If you're looking to get in the show business. 22 Jump Street, $29 million. Made it number 2. How to Train Your Dragon 2, $25.3 million. Made it number 3 at the box office. Then Jersey Boys debuted to $13.5 million. Maleficent was 5th. Edge of Tomorrow was 6th. The Fault in Our Stars was 7th. X-Men Days of Future Past at number 8. Chef at 9. And Godzilla at 10. Causes me great personal harm and a pained heart to see a chef in the top 10 and A Million Ways to Die in the West having dropped out of the top 10.
Aww.
Not that you have anything against Jon Favreau, though.
No, not at all. But this is a tiny little itsy-bitsy movie.
Right.
It cost $8 to make, and I'm all for that. But, you know, I have a deep love and affection for everyone I worked on A Million Ways with, and to see it drop out of the top 10. Holy moly.
Well, I hope it finds a second life on, you know, as a rental and as a
Netflix,
DVD
stream.
Yeah,
I hope that too. Tracy Morgan's feeling better, well enough at least to leave the hospital. He's been released from the hospital. Has now gone to a private rehab center where he will continue to undergo treatment. Tracy's people tell the press that he is continuing to show signs of improvement. However, let's not make any mistake about it. He still has a long way to go, so continued progress, we hope, for Tracy Morgan, a good guy and a big talent.
Yeah, broken bones just take time. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. And rehabbing time.
It's compounded, too, by his diabetes and his health issues before he even got in the accident. So it's going to be a long road, but I hope he makes a full recovery. Rosario Dawson, who I adore, has been added to the cast of Netflix's upcoming series Daredevil. I'm getting more and more excited about this as it moves forward. It's a limited 13-episode series, which will be shot entirely in New York City, starring Charlie Cox as, of course, blind lawyer Matt Murdock, who at night dons the scarlet costume of Daredevil to take on such evil as crime lord Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. the Kingpin, played by Vincent D'Onofrio. This is one of just four live-action Marvel TV series, which will make their debut on Netflix. The superhero series will be followed by Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage.
What is a nerd?
I am. It will all come together eventually as the Defenders, of course. Oh, come on. How could it be more excited? Luke Cage!
Nerd alert! Nerd alert!
Luke Cage, hero for hire. Mother effers.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Well, you will. Speaking of upcoming projects I'm excited about, there's going to be another Bourne film. This will be the fifth one. It's being pushed back from its release date nearly a year, from next summer to July of 2016. Now, some people parlayed that story into a rumor that had been going around that Matt Damon will be coming back as Jason Bourne along with Jeremy Renner as super spy Aaron Cross. But producer Frank Marshall says that's simply not true. It will be Jeremy Renner's film, and Matt will not be returning.
Yeah, I thought he kind of took over as the next Bourne.
Yeah, he is Bourne, even though he's not really Bourne.
Right, different guy.
He's Bourne-esque.
Bourne-ish.
Yeah.
Bourne-like.
He is Bourne-like. And Pearl Jam continues to be interesting in concert. By interesting is they got plenty of surprises. Eddie Vedder was performing with the band in Milan, Italy, this past Friday night. When at the end of Daughter, one of their signature tunes, they went off into a little spontaneous cover of a song you may not expect from Pearl Jam. Let It Go from Frozen. Never a song I would expect Eddie Vedder to be singing live in concert. Actually sounded pretty cool, though. It fit in pretty well with Pearl Jam's own tune. It's a pretty good mashup. Let It Go and Daughter. Here is the tail end of Daughter where they kicked into the Disney animated hit.
Just let it go.
What a goal.
Just let it go.
Kevin should do his own mashup. Today's celebrity birthday is Randy Jackson of American Idol fame. He's 58 years old today. Let's not forget he was also the bassist for Journey, all right? Let's
That's
get our priorities
right.
straight.
That's right.
Frances McDormand from Fargo and Blood Simple and a ton of other movies where she's always been great.
Almost famous, by the way.
Oh,
let's not forget
right.
how phenomenal
yeah.
she was in that.
She's great in everything she does. 57 years old, Joss Whedon. Extraordinary director, writer, producer, 50 years old today. Selma Blair turns 42. We geeks know her from Hellboy probably best. Jason Mraz is 37. Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory is 34. And our very own, the lovely, the talented Lisa May celebrates her birthday today. We've been celebrating all day by soliciting your penis pictures for Lisa, and apparently she is not impressed with your photography skills.
Yeah, well, I'm boys.
I'm like, are you enjoying all these penis pictures you're getting? No, there's like guts in the way, and they're out of focus.
A little bit of grooming would be good.
Lisa's going to give a seminar. We'll give you all the details where you can come down to, but she is going to do a seminar called The Art of the Penis Picture. And
it
she
definitely
will,
is an art.
At least
will,
put some effort into it, guys, is what she
said. She will teach you how to finally shoot it, and probably will shoot some of her own there with the class.
Nice. I guess everybody does love Dick.
That's right, Lisa. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Actor, director, writer, heartthrob.
The last one I don't know about.
Sex symbol and all-around great American, ladies and gentlemen, Zach Braff joins
thank
us in
you,
studio here
you,
on the Academy Show. Zach, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. 14 months ago, this whole project began here in the very chair I'm sitting in when I first came to you guys.
I remember you came in and you were launching your Kickstarter to make your new film. And you came in and that's when the floodgates opened and you told us a story. And it's seared in my memory, Zach. Because here's how little we know about show business on this show.
Yes.
We just assume that if you're a popular TV and movie star like Zach Braff, you can get whatever you want made.
Yeah.
And especially
a lot of people assume that.
Especially because you had a movie that did really well.
Yeah, Garden State was a big hit. So why aren't people lining up with truckloads full of cash to help you make a new movie? And you explained to us, kids, that's not how it works.
Well, it's not how it works. And also, I want to be clear that I could have gone and made a big studio romantic comedy. Of course, I had a successful movie. So I could have gone and made something in the studio system, something that was uber commercial and gotten that made. But I was trying to make this personal story about my family, and it's a unique story. It's an independent movie. It's got spirituality and religion and some surreal fantasies. It was not a screenplay that on the page was making anyone go, "Oh my God, this is going to open in 3,000 theaters. Here's all our money.
Right. I can't wait to be a part of this."
Right. So, but the same thing happened to Garden State. Everyone passed on Garden State. You know, when I write these things, I aspired to have them be unique and different. And that's not really something that financiers and studios are interested in.
Certainly not. By the way, if you had put Iron Man in this movie, you would have been fine.
Sure. Well,
you fit that in.
It goes without saying that if you have a ginormous celebrity and you can make anything happen. But I'm sure even Robert Downey Jr. Would say that he has projects that he wants to make that he can't get made because they're just too, you know, the audience is small for them and they're quirky and unique and eccentric, and that's not really, you know, financiers are interested in.
Now, we all know the success of your Kickstarter campaign. You blew everyone. In fact, you came on with us a week later after the campaign had begun.
What happened was at first everyone was like, this will never work. How dare he? It's not a sequel. It's not, you know, because Veronica Mars had success, but it was a known title. I wasn't saying I'm going to make Scrubs 2 or I'm going to make Garden State 2 or my own version of Chicken Little. I was I played Chicken Little, for those of you who are like, why did he make that reference? and because it was a new title, and I was saying to my fan base, hey, if you're interested in this, this is a one way to get it made, but it is something that you won't have read. You'll just have to trust me. And so everyone in the world weighed in and said, well, that's not going to work. And then it funded in 48 hours, and then I was on like the cover of Saudi Arabian newspapers. I mean, it was such a
Which was your goal? Let's be honest.
It was such a global story. I had fans sending me like, Zach, you're on the cover of a Saudi Arabian newspaper.
That's crazy.
I remember you came on a week later and you were just walking on air that your fans had come through. But we were also talking to you at that time and how surprised we all were that there was any kind of backlash against you for going this route too, which I thought was just bogus.
Well, I think the way you started this interview is exactly why, because most people think, oh, you were on a successful show, you made a successful movie, what the hell are you doing? You know, you don't have any business using crowdfunding. And I had to sort of, you know, it was my fault, I guess, naively, I didn't know that I would have to explain to Earth that I can't actually get a film made. One thing I can do is contribute my own money because I've made some money, but I couldn't afford this entire budget myself. So this experiment was, well, what if my fans buy a T-shirt or if my fans buy a ticket to a Q&A with an advanced screening, if we do all sorts of things like this, I left outgoing voicemail messages, whatever you can think of, I signed anything and everything, then there needs to be no corporate involvement. Then it's my money, 47,000 of my fans backing it, and then we can just make whatever movie we want. But I think that some of the backlash was about people being confused, like you just said, like you opened the interview, like, well, why can't you make a movie? And so I had to go out and explain to people why I couldn't.
Well, I know you worked hard on not only making the movie, but on fulfilling the promise to your fans of the things that you sent out to them.
Oh, my God,
I drove by a children's birthday party in Portland, and I saw you in a dunk tank there just on some guy's front lawn.
By the way, you're only exaggerating a tiny bit. I mean, the stuff that I have done over the last 14 months to fulfill, and actually a lot of it's fun. I mean, you know, today
painting fences, washing cars.
Oh, I did like outgoing voicemail messages. I did wedding proposals. I mean, because one of the main things was 30 seconds, I'll say anything you want on audio or video. And so I did like so many wedding proposals, so many outgoing voicemail messages. Some of it was like you know, friends, insider, like, you know, jokes. So I'd be like, hey, Elbat, TR1 says, don't you dare. You know, I'm like reading this piece of paper that's just like nonsense. I was like whoring myself. I'll do anything to get this movie made.
Well, you had the money you wanted. Was making the movie the experience you expected to be easier, harder, or about the same as what you thought?
It was harder because, first of all, we only had 26 days to make the whole film. And when you see the film, it's pretty epic for that. You know, Garden State was a small movie. I mean, it was literally like a series of scenes with three people talking in different locations. This was a pretty sweeping story with fantasies, and it's a bit of a road trip, and there's all sorts of larger stuff going on. So that was hard. And taking care of, you know, when you make a normal movie, you got to make sure that your one or two financiers are happy. I had 47,000 fans that I had to make sure were happy, and a lot of them were visiting set, and some of them had cameos,
right.
And there were extras,
right.
And they were, I mean, it was like doing two giant businesses at once. It was making a movie in 26 days, which is insane to begin with, and then simultaneously taking care of the needs and requests and questions of 47,000 people.
Wow.
If I were making a movie, the number one thing that I would want in my film would be Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, me too, man.
And I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm sure you are, like most Americans, in awe of him as an actor. Did you know him at all before you approached him for this
film? I met him on the street, but I think he's one of the most... Well, I'm glad Homeland is finally giving him his due, because first of all, Princess Bride is one of my favorite movies of all time, and then you know, I'm a musical theater geek. I'm doing a Broadway show right now, and he is
the king of Broadway.
The king of Broadway, mm-hmm. And then of course Homeland. Now, I just think he's an extraordinary actor, and wait till you see his performance in this movie. I had never worked with someone who is one of those people who sort of stays in the character the whole time, and it was an honor to work with him. But the truth is that I was walking on the street in Manhattan, where you can bump into famous people on the street, and I never go up to celebrities because I get shy around them and I don't know what to say to them, and I got up the courage and I said, I just want to say hi. And he was with his son, who was a big fan of Garden State. And so we had like this 10-minute conversation on a corner in Manhattan. And then when I walked away, I went, wow, this might be a good intro into asking him to be in my movie. You know, like, this will be the first paragraph of the letter I'm going to write.
Hey, remember me?
Remember that random
assaulted
guy?
Assaulted you on the street.
Yeah, remember that random guy you talked to on the street? Would you consider being in my movie? And also the Kickstarter people made that possible, because with his Homeland schedule, you know, corporations or financiers never would have worked out the insane deal that we were able to work out with his showrunners of Homeland, who basically, with a handshake, said, okay, you can have him for 4 days.
That's amazing. Now, as a writer, what's it like for you to hand your script into Mandy Patinkin,
mm-hmm.
and then wait for feedback? Are you just sitting on pins and needles, just waiting for that phone to ring to find out whether he likes it or not?
Of course, because I really look up to him, and I knew that he would relate to the material, because I knew he had lost a parent, and there's a subplot about losing a parent. And I knew that he had been raised religious, and there's a subplot about someone who's been raised religious. So, I mean, if he's tailor-made to be the audience. So if he didn't like it, I was really going to be upset. He loved it. I mean, he called me and said that he cried when he read it, and that he would do anything to be a part of it. But he was terrified that his Homeland schedule wouldn't work out. And it almost didn't. I mean, I got to give the Homeland guys a huge thanks, because they made it work.
And what a great cast, too. Jim Parsons has a small part in the movie. Ashley Green is in the film. Kate Hudson is in the movie. And she's a terrific actress who's been in a lot of bad movies. But everything I've seen about your film, Wish I Was Here, she looks fantastic.
Well, let me,
in
let me
this.
Defend what you just said for a second, because here's the thing. For women in Hollywood, it's very hard to find roles. And Kate has the luxury.
I agree.
Kate has the luxury of being a very pretty, funny person. And that is the biggest commodity in Hollywood. I was on Scrubs for 9 years. They were constantly looking for love interests for my character. Pretty, really funny girls.
So sad for you, Zach.
I know.
Keep parading all of these models in for you to make out with. That must have been terrible.
A high class problem. But in all seriousness, that is a commodity in Hollywood, because God doesn't do that too much. Make a stunning Kate Hudson looking woman who can also be really funny. So that's why she's been in a lot of those romantic comedies. They do very, very well, and she's very good at it. But like you, I saw Almost Famous, and I was like, holy man, that is a good actress.
She was nominated for an Oscar for that role. She's incredible.
Forget the looks for a second. That is an actress. And so I always thought as a fan, like, I want to bring her back to that. I know that's in her. And she did it. I mean, where do you see her performance in this movie? And like I did with Natalie in Garden State, when I met with her, I said, look, I don't want the glam squad. I don't want any of that nonsense. I just want you to be you, and you with your hair like it is naturally, with as minimal makeup as you're willing to wear, and just be a normal person. And we don't have money for fancy trailers and stuff. It's just going to be a traditional low-budget indie. And she was down for it, and she was awesome.
Well, the movie looks incredible. It's called Wish I Was Here. It's in theaters on July 18th, directed and written by Zach Braff, also the producer, along with the rest of us on the Kickstarter campaign.
Yes,
we'll take
sir.
A quick break. More with Zach right after this on K-Rock.
Right.
How about the world-famous Zach Braff in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show? The film is called Wish I Was Here. It comes out everywhere on July 18th. By the way, does anyone ever complain that it should be Wish I Were Here, Zach? Have you
all
had that?
All the time. And I know that it's grammatically incorrect, universe. There's two reasons. One, Wish I Was Here sounds better because it's sort of a nod to those postcards, Wish
right.
You Were Here. And also, in the film, my character tries to homeschool his kids, and he's not an academic, and the kids know more than he does. So it's a little bit of a nod to that he would get that wrong, too. Like, the kids are constantly correcting the dad, like, who instead of whom and all that stuff.
That's funny. Hey, you mentioned when you sat down, by the way, that you're in Bullets Over Broadway, which is just getting rave reviews. And I know, you know, you've said, I've seen your interviews where you're like, dream come true. This is what I got into show business to do, was be a Broadway musical actor and everything. How are you here today? You're not flying like right in doing this and then turning around and flying back to New York, are you?
Yes, sir. I do that. I've been doing, you know, because we have all these advanced Kickstarter backer screenings. So I've been flying across the country to every city on a Sunday night. On Monday, I do a full day of press in those cities and then do screenings at night. And then I take the red eye back or the first flight Tuesday morning in order to be back. This particular one, I got one day off from the show of my entire run, and that is Tuesday because I'm going to go to San Francisco to do a Kickstarter backer screening there, too.
The play is based on a Woody Allen, very popular, very famous Woody Allen movie. Did he also write the screenplay for you guys?
Yeah, he wrote the play. And
the play,
he,
I guess
and
I should
he
call.
Was there for all the previews and you know, in previews in theater, you listen to the audience and it's a time before the critics come, so you can sort of tweak it. And so he was there changing jokes and cutting and trimming. He was there every single night. It was really cool.
So have you gotten to know him a little bit?
Yeah, I mean,
to hang out with him and talk movie maker to movie maker.
Well, no, he's a he's the shyest person I've ever met in my life in 39 years of being
really?
A human being. Yeah, he really is an extreme version of the character he plays, and so but was cool to get to know him a little bit. And by the end, he warmed up, and you know, he would say, "I missed a joke one night," and he turned to me, and the next day at rehearsal, I said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I skipped that joke. I was just my brain went somewhere." And he goes, "Yeah, you'll probably get a bigger laugh if you actually say it on stage." So now, by the end, he was making little Woody Allen quips like that, which was pretty cool.
It's so weird. He's so well known. You've grown up watching him that when you see the real person, I bet you feel like he's not even real. Like, you can't believe he's a real human standing there because he's Woody Allen from the movies.
Well, he's also so much more shy in real life than the neurotic, awkward character he plays in the movies. So you thought, like, oh, maybe he's like playing that up in the movies. But
yeah.
No, it's more so in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Are you in his universe now where the phone might ring and he might want you for a movie?
I hope so, man. That would be great. I think he wrote me a very, very – one of the nicest letters I've ever gotten from someone I've worked for. So I'm hoping that he likes the experience as much as I do and will cast me. Yeah,
that's so awesome.
By the way, my SAG card – I got my SAG card when I was 18 being in Manhattan Murder Mystery. So he
– Oh, wow.
This is the second time he's hired me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. In our remaining moments here with our friend Zach Braff on the Kevin and Bean Show, let's talk a little bit about one of the other things that you are famous for, which is your soundtracks. Garden State, that sold what? Almost a couple of million copies, right?
I think right now it's about 1.5, and it went platinum, obviously, and then won the Grammy for Soundtrack of the Year.
So here we are in 2014, where you'll probably sell about 30,000 copies total. But
let me tell you something. What we did, because by the way, 10 years ago there was no iTunes. So as you're joking, you know, the world has totally changed.
Totally.
And now people just listen to music on YouTube. But we what we did to try and make it a unique experience was go to my favorite. Hey, will you create something unique and will you watch the movie and then write a song that is inspired by your experience watching the movie? So that was one way to make it unique this time.
That's amazing. And you got, I mean, you picked some great previously released songs like the Badly Drawn Boy song, which is one of my all-time favorite songs, the Paul Simon song, which is an amazing song. But then some of the new stuff includes Cat Power and Coldplay together.
Coldplay wrote a song that Cat Power sings, and Chris Martin harmonizes with Cat Power. It is, I'm getting goosebumps describing it to you. It's so good. It's the title track in the movie.
I can't even believe that. And Bon Iver, new song from Bon Iver as well?
New song from Bon Iver and a new song. It's no secret, I love the Shins. So the soundtrack's available on iTunes, and actually, I mean, the pre-order, and the one track that's available is this Shin song that they wrote after watching the movie.
Yeah, and the Shins, I mean, I'm not going to say they're on hiatus, but they're laying a little bit low right now, so it's almost like they cut together kind of just for you and your soundtrack, right?
Yeah, because he's not really – he's working on some of his other projects, and in the incarnation of the Shins, he's not really writing music right now. So that was really cool that they got together and wrote this.
Let's hear a little bit of the Shins. This is their new song. You can buy this now on iTunes. It's part of the pre-order for the Wish I Was Here soundtrack from the new Zach Braff movie. It's called So Now What? Can you sing that high, Zach?
No, but if that doesn't make you want to roll down the windows of your car and bob your head in the summertime, I don't know what does.
The soundtrack is coming out on July 15th, the album July 18th. It's so funny to watch you here in studio. Yes, I can see you, Zach, during the listening to that Shin song, because you've probably heard it a million times by now,
I know.
It still hits you. You still get into it.
I just put it on my Instagram. I put a video of me bobbing my head. I just love it. Listen, when I put these songs in the movie, there's so many songs that we filter through. So by the time they made it onto the soundtrack, you know, me and my editor, Myron Kirstein, who helps me cut all this music, it gave us both goosebumps. So they're not songs that sort of like, oh, that's a cool song. They're songs that for us, and obviously it'll help the audience to see them in the context of the film, but they really move me. And of course, because these artists, I mean, these are my favorite bands.
Yeah.
I mean, and they saw the movie and then wrote a song. I mean, it's close to my heart.
Dream come true.
Oh, my God.
You've probably never been busier than you are right now. Are you enjoying it, or are you you feel like just a puddle, Zach?
There's moments where I'm doing 8 shows a week where I just want to collapse. But there's moments where I go, you know, this is it. This is life. I'm not one of those people who believes in an afterlife. So this is it. I'm 39 years old. This is I'm living my dream. So I'm trying to really just be present and enjoy every moment of it.
Well, we're enjoying what you're giving us, my friend. Wish I Was Here looks like a great movie.
Thank
it's coming
you.
Out everywhere on July the 18th. Can't wait to see that. And I hope this one is a big hit and that the next one they come to you with the truckloads of money to make it easier for you.
Thank you so much for your support. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for coming in. Sounds like the listener of the day in Lisa's email is the one who sent the photo of the pianist.
Oh, that guy didn't understand what we were asking for at all.
Pictures of guys playing pianos is not what Lisa wants for her birthday.
Brody and a picture is not the same thing.
It made me laugh.
Oh, make her laugh, make her breakfast, boys.
There you go.
Might be the way.
That's what you've always said. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's going on? What's happening?
Before I get into the Showbiz news, I do want to let any fans of Zach Braff know if you gave a bunch of money to help him make a film.
Uh-huh.
That he left his coffee behind here with his mouth that was all over it. So if you'd like to buy that for like $100 or something.
Zach Braff DNA, why not?
I could put it in a Ziploc and send it off to you for a mere $100. So just giving you a heads up. Apparently you people will give money to get some stuff from him.
Hey, I watched that Orphan Black, man. You can do a lot with that DNA.
That's right. Make your own army of Zach Braffs. I'm just thinking about an army of Zach Braff.
Yeah, right. Kind of funny, huh?
I'm trying to think, what would you do with that? It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Think Like a Man 2 made $30 million this weekend.
Wow! Hey, what's going on? I'm going to have some fun.
bucks. Holy moly, $30 million.
Who's in that besides Kevin Hart?
The dreamy guy with the blue eyes.
Kay Diggs?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, stop it. Oh, damn it. What's his name?
Black guy, blue eyes?
Yeah, black guy with the beautiful blue eyes. He was in the first one as well. A lot of the returning cast. Michael Ealy? Ealy, I want to say? Ealy?
Ooh, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know him from the Almost Human show. That guy.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who played the replicant or whatever from Almost Human. Yeah. He's a super handsome dude. Ladies love him.
Weird Al Yankovic.
No, Weird Al is not in this film.
Ralph Garman.
Now, he is also not in the film.
Okay.
22 Jump Street was second at the box office with $29 million. Just got edged out by Think Like a Man 2. How to Train Your Dragon 2 did pretty well, $25.3 million. And at number 3, Jersey Boys, the new Clint Eastwood musical, came in fourth with $13.5 million. And Maleficent was $13 million. Edge of Tomorrow, sixth. The Fault in Our Stars was seventh. X-Men Days of Future Past came in at number 8. Chef and Godzilla rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Jill Duggar. You know, may know her from the Duggar brood of 17 kids and counting. Aren't they more than 19 kids and counting. Aren't there more than 19 now? Don't they have like 21 kids?
I think they're at 20 or 21, yeah.
A representative for the family tells ABC News that she married Derek Dillard last Saturday night in Springdale, Arkansas. And here's the thing, the odd thing about this story, the reason I bring it up. She did not kiss Derek until they said their I do's. There was no kissing involved in their relationship until they were officially married.
Now, is this a super religious family? Is that where this is coming from?
Yes.
Because there's nothing in the Bible about not being able to kiss people before you're married, right? I mean, that's an extreme interpretation of chastity.
Especially in Arkansas.
Right.
Where usually you're just boning your cousins, but you can't kiss your fiancé?
Does it say how old they are?
It doesn't say how old they are.
Because they're probably like 17.
I believe they're teenage-ish.
Yeah.
Huh.
They began their relationship on Skype, by the way. Because the groom was 8,000 miles away when they met.
This has everything going for
it. It really does. The happy couple said they're going to have lots of children. Well, of course.
I'm sure they are.
It goes without saying.
Within 50 years, half the population of Arkansas will be from that one family.
You Duggars, yes.
What do you suppose, I mean, if you can put a percentage on it, percentage of people who get married before they kiss has to be 0.00000 something one, right?
They may be the only couple ever.
Ever, right?
In the history of man.
It's just insane. I wonder if we could find any listeners if we open this up tomorrow. I bet we couldn't find a single listener who has ever done that.
And that's saying something because
that's too freaky, right?
In our experience with phone-in topics, we've always found somebody who's done something every time we have a topic. But to have never kissed before marriage?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think that's a one-of-a-kind deal.
Their wedding registry was also interesting. They asked for everything from restaurant gift cards to cereal.
Cereal?
No.
What?
Nothing like getting a nice wrapped box of Lucky Charms on your wedding day. Two guns.
Sure,
restaurant
again.
Gift cards, cereal, and guns were all on their wedding ring.
Again,
oh my God.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
But certainly no birth control. They don't want any of that. Keep your condoms away from
that. That's right. Keep your stinking birth control to yourself because we're going to just start cranking them out.
I wonder what the, to go back to the never having kissed, I wonder what the success rate is or the happiness level is for couples who are even virgins when they marry versus people who tried it out beforehand.
I bet it's all the same across the board.
Really?
I've often heard the research shows that whether it's arranged marriages or premarital sex, postmarital sex, the it's generally all about the same success to failure ratio as any other marriage.
All right, this will blow your mind. According to Christine in the research department here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, our vast research department got on this? I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
The bride was 23.
Oh.
Really?
The groom, 25.
Hmm.
Shocking.
I would like to know the nature of their relationship that started when he was 8,000 miles away.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I need to know more.
He was probably working a mission or something, right? Is that?
Oh, that makes sense. Could be.
I know they're a very religious family. Maybe
obviously.
He was off, you know, helping poor kids.
Convert
somewhere.
Yes.
Or something.
Kiss, kiss, bang, bang,
no,
bang,
not,
bang.
Not until they say I do, Rodney.
Christine, let's try to track somebody down on the Arkansas beat who can fill us in on this relationship.
The Arkansas beat.
Do we have a bureau?
Do we have a satellite branch there in Arkansas?
I thought we did. I bet we have somebody there who can tell us a little bit more about this family, about these kids, about how they met, about about how many guns they got from their registry.
We want all the lowdown on the Duggars.
I got too many questions about this couple.
Bean, as always, needs more information. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, also another couple that never kissed until they got married. Did you know that?
Actually, that's not true.
Oh, that's true. He was boning her on the back of a motorcycle during his video, if I remember that correctly. They just had a birthday party for their one-year-old baby girl, North, who is rarely around them, really, from all accounts.
Well, the kids aren't that much fun when they're that little.
They're traveling around the world jet-setting, and the kid is just in a Skinner box someplace, just waiting to be released. There's like 8 psychology students out there who got that and are laughing right now. Okay. North is in fact so rarely seen with the most creative genius couple in the world that the press is now taking, they call her Nori in the family, in the Kardashian family. They have taken to calling her Ignori. Makes me laugh. Norfin, also another name that's been given to her.
I like Norfin.
And, of course, an effing prop called by some reporters. It was a big party over the weekend. Teepees, a Ferris wheel, face painting, hair braiding. They had fireworks, base jumping. There was just, you name it. For the one-year-old that just has it all. They called it Kidcella, by the way. A hilarious takeoff on the Coachella music festival. Also like Bonnaroo, of course, another festival. In fact, the kids that were there booed Kanye when he was on stage.
Oh, no.
And were scrawling F Kanye in their graffiti on the porta potties at the event. So it really was like a music festival for Kanye West.
Whose stupid idea was this? Seriously.
No idea. I think that the Kardashian crew is coming after teenagers. Now they're trying to brainwash teenagers everywhere. Kylie and Kendall Jenner have reportedly been offered their own teen talk show.
No.
Word is the sisters are negotiating a deal for a program focusing on subjects like dating, self-esteem, and fashion.
No!
This should be great, because if we learned anything from Kendall at the MTV Video Music Awards, she can't read. So
oh,
this should make
That's
for an
true.
Entertaining show if they have cue cards.
I
no,
have
no.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
No, they're gonna get it.
No.
Yeah, they're gonna get a show.
No.
They're gonna
no.
Have their own show.
No.
They're gonna have
no.
Their own show.
Hell no. 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 I refuse. No. No.
Maybe Mom Chris can give them some tips on a successful talk show.
Right. That will last 8 weeks.
That's right.
I've spent very little time. In fact, I don't think I've ever heard them speak except for that Billboard Music Award appearance.
Oh, it was Billboard. That's right. Wasn't
you referenced. But they seem super dumb, these girls, right?
Oh,
super dumb.
Profoundly dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, even for that family, they seem dumb. So by all means, give them a talk show. Today's celebrity birthdays, Randy Jackson. You know him, dog.
Very well, job done, baby.
Thank you, Randy. He's from American Idol. 58 years old today. Frances McDormand, lovely and talented actress, 57 years old. Joss Whedon, writer, director, producer, all-around good guy, 50 years old today. Selma Blair's 42. Jason Mraz is 37 years old. Melissa Rauch from Big Bang Theory plays Bernadette on that series. She is 34. And our own, we've been celebrating it all day. Our own Lisa May celebrates her birthday today. Big plans for the birthday, Lisa? What are you going to do? What's going on? What's on the docket?
Well, I'm kind of saving it till since I was gone all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save it for next weekend.
Oh,
have the
I see.
Big birthday. Here.
Ooh, pleasure delayed. Like that.
Yeah. I'm good
hey,
with the looking.
Lisa, turn them loose, girl.
That's right.
Let them go. Shake them, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Shake them, Lisa May. Shake them for freedom, Lisa. Yeah, Lisa May, shake 'em, girl. Woo! Yeah.
Hello, Lisa.
Exactly, Lisa. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Good old Lisa. All right, listen, even though the show is over, please keep those penis photos coming to Lisa at Kerak.com.
I've been enjoying them all.
She's postponing her birthday celebration until the weekend, so I think all week long we can imagine a selection that she can just take her time this weekend and leisurely just peruse.
Ralph, it's a shame that the monkey is not going to be with us tomorrow because this program
He died? He finally died?
Nope. As far as we know, he's still alive in Brazil. But this program is, I think, is perfect for Party Bus Kevin that we have lined up for tomorrow.
Is it loud?
Derek and Jeremy are coming in studio from Drunk History Season 2, getting ready to premiere.
Perfect for him.
Drunk History is the best. And also comedian Jay Larson is going to be here in studio. He's on the Esquire Network, don't you know, with his show, The Best Bars in America.
I'm looking forward to talking to Jay about that because that fascinates me. I love the pub bar culture, and I would like to know, even locally here in Southern California, if he knows any really cool bars that I have yet to be in.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, real quick aside, just late local and live local late break. What the hell's that? What's the phrase?
I think you had it.
Late breaking?
Yeah. Anyway, breaking news. Just a little piece of Southern California history is going away, and it hurts my heart because I spent many a drunken afternoon in this place. But the legendary Powerhouse Bar.
Wah, wah, wah.
On Highland, across from Hollywood and Highland there. Is closing its doors after
I have heard
years.
That.
And it just hurts my heart.
Tough economic times, is that
hurts
all?
My heart, yeah. Hurts my heart and my liver to know that that place will no longer be around for one of the great dive bars in Southern California.
So is there time to go by and raise a final pint before they go?
I believe if I go today, I think I'll still be in time. But a little tip of the cap to the Powerhouse because they've provided me many, many lost hours of entertainment.
Fantastic. All right, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with an all-new Kevin and Bean Show right here on Good Old K-Rock.